And welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. And if you're on Facebook, you search the Matthew Aaron Show and you click like. That would be great for Caesar. And then on iTunes, you go there and you just make some comments. I don't care if they're pithy or whatever. I am Matthew Aaron. We have an exciting show today. I'm very excited. I'm going to talk about the show quite a bit here.
Yep.
Leading up. I am joined by Charles Salvatore.
Gary Bateman's a douche.
Okay, whoever that is. And the Republican Ed Schultz, Mikey Terzo.
I look nothing like Ed Schultz.
In 20 years, pal.
Yeah,
if you're
I still have all your hair.
Yeah,
well, fuck you.
You're the Republican
he
Ed
looks
Schultz.
More like Ed Schultz than I do.
No.
Yes, he does.
Shawnee does not look like Ed Schultz.
Who is Ed Schultz anyhow?
Well, how the fuck does he know?
Thank you, Mikey. I was just about to ask that.
Either Ed Schultz or Dino Bravo, okay?
Oh, he looks like Dino Bravo.
Dino Bravo it is.
Where's Frenchie?
Frenchie.
And Gary Bateman's the commissioner of the NHL.
Oh, Gary Bettman.
Bettman.
Yeah, it's Bettman.
Bateman.
What is it, Jason Bateman?
Like Gary Bettman's a douche, sorry.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's...
I guess I'm a douche, too.
Oh, shut up.
We were going to have an interview with Michael Bassett, the director of Silent Hill, but timing constraints kind of fucked that up. So I do encourage you to go see the movie, though, Silent Hill. It's in theaters Friday.
Isn't this one 3D? Something?
Yeah, something like that. It's Tom Ortenberg's company, and I'm a fan of Tom's. So
yeah,
go see the movie.
Are they going to release it in the V-Box like they got over at Movie?
The V-Box.
V-Box.
The V-Box? Is it the vagina? If someone called something the V-Box, it'd be the funniest thing I've ever seen, okay?
We will create something called the V-Box.
And Mandy Stattmiller is going to be joining us, and you may be like, well, tell me about Mandy Stattmiller. Well, I will. Mandy Stattmiller is the deputy editor over at XO Jane. She used to work, I believe, at the Observer, the New York Observer. She quit. She did a huge article on why. You may also know her character. Well, the character on the newsroom that's based off her is the TMZ paparazzi chick who. I will be interviewing Michael Bassett tomorrow. Pat wanted me to.
Oh, very nice.
So it'll be on next week's show.
Good.
So Mandy dated Aaron Sorkin. She became a character, well, she's not on the show, but a character based off her is on the show. And Mandy, of course, writes a lot of articles for XO Jane concerning sex and dating. And that's something that people at this table need absolutely no help with. So we're very much looking forward. I'm going to call Mandy in an hour, and we're going to gossip.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So we were talking outside, though. I'm not going to continue this too long, but we're going to save this for Mandy. But one of the things we're going to talk about is now I'm a little I feel conflicted, like I'm on one side here. But Chucky and Mikey, they are under the impression that men and women can be friends. And I say that is false.
Well,
we'll find out.
We told you here. When you don't want to have sex with a girl. Or you're not wanting to, you know, if you're not romantically interested in a girl, you can be friends with her.
Yes.
Well, we'll talk about that.
I agree. Man. Or if a female thinks that you're not romantically interested
in.
Yes, very badly.
Oh.
Terrible.
Oh, I looked at you and smiled.
Did Chucky really rip ass?
Yeah,
oh,
yes,
yeah.
He did.
I did. Very badly.
Oh, God damn it.
You know what? Good thing Sirius hasn't picked us up yet because we'd be in a much smaller studio and we'd all be feeling that, okay? Is it really that bad? Can you smell it? You
can
taste it. Adam, of course, doing our
Chucky.
Sound today. He could taste it.
I had a pork roast for dinner, if that's what you're
saying.
Oh, gonna
God.
Ask.
Pork roast?
With a little
stuff. Let's not dwell on this.
I have a clip I want you guys to comment on, and I'll comment on. But Kevin Smith explained to Larry King why he's retiring after his next film. So I'm going to play this one-minute clip from the Larry King show on Hulu.
Larry King's still on?
On Hulu. And he does interviews with some pretty high-profile people. And this is his interview with Kevin Smith. It's a minute-long clip about why Kevin is quitting directing after his next film. Thank you, Hulu.
The following clip is brought to you by Lean Cuisine.
The Matthew Aaron Show is brought to you by Lean Cuisine.
Okay,
that's not funny.
A couple of Twitter questions. Andy's 1991 wants to know if you're planning on acting on the big screen with Jason.
This is not the clip. That's not the clip.
All right.
You set me up wrong, Larry. I don't care about Jason Mewes. No,
Albuquerque, you're
Mewes.
On the air. Go.
Yeah. I can't do it better than Kevin Pollak, so I'll just.
Yeah, Kevin Pollak is great.
All right, here it is. Here it is. And, yeah. Hopefully, this is really the clip, Larry.
Thanks, Lair.
Thanks, Lair. Hulu again.
Lean Cuisine's coming back up.
The following clip is brought to you by Battlestar Galactica.
Oh,
never seen it.
No.
All right, here we go.
Somebody will be your last feature film.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
You know, I did. I directed films. I directed more films than I ever imagined I would. Clerks is always meant as a sort of calling card film. Make this and show people we know how to make a movie, and the next time they'll give us $100,000 so I'm not paying for it on my own credit cards or something like that. So everything that followed was just beyond expectation. It was like hoping for a kiss and getting the most amazing blowjob you've ever had in your life, where you're like, I scored beyond that. And then just when she's finished, she's like, in 2 hours, we'll go again. So for me, I was like, this opened up everything. No expectations whatsoever. Everything since then has been a gift. That all being said, you do anything for almost 20 years, you know this. You know, it's time to move on to something else. And not because I'm like, I hate it or I've never loved it. Of course I love it. There's a reason to walk away from things if you love them so much. Like, if I can't bring anything new to the game, and I assure you, I cannot, there's no point in me stepping up and to the plate. Like, some other young buck who I used to be 20 years ago has a more interesting story than I
have to tell.
Other
things, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going away. Trust me. I just don't want to direct films, especially because that world right now, the economics don't support the kind of stories I want to tell.
So that's Kevin's response of why he's quitting filmmaking.
I don't think he's going to be gone that long.
Me either. I think when directors say they're retiring, I think it's stupid to even say, because you can be gone 5 years and then come back and direct.
Well, I think the other thing that you run into is these people, they may be sincere. It's like a pro athlete.
No, I think he's sincere, yeah. But who says he doesn't have a new story to tell in five years?
Well, that's what I'm talking
have
about.
Have you seen some of his movies lately?
So you do think he's Kevin's not being smug when he says he's out of ideas?
No, not at all. His movies suck lately.
I mean, did you see Jane Silent Bob Strike Back?
I did.
What was that?
I feel like Mario just hit a bomb. I did see Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
I mean,
how many times can you go around, you know, doing the question and answer period that he does? Last two times it's come to Chicago, they moved it to smaller venues because they
really
fell out.
I do think he made an interesting point about how the economics aren't there for him to make his kind of movies either. Studios don't want to make $5 million movies anymore.
No, they don't.
So I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. I think Kevin's sincere. I don't think we'll be seeing him for a while, but I don't think he's done.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. What his most creative movies? Clerks, Small
mm-hmm.
Rats.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
Chasing Amy.
Yeah, but Chasing Amy wasn't the same as Clerks.
I thought Chasing Amy was his best movie.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's his best movie.
I do.
No, it is a great movie.
I think so.
It's a great movie, but it's different than the other two.
Oh, sure.
What's the movie he did about? Was it Clerks 2 where they were working at the fast food place?
Yeah. It was Clerks 2.
Yeah, I mean, just not. I mean, it was good because it was like nostalgic, mm-hmm. but.
You see Red State?
Did that look like a total piece of garbage?
I thought it was good. I did. I really did. What about, what's that movie he did with the clowns and the guy gets vulgar?
Oh, Vulgar, yeah, yeah. Vulgar. He didn't do that one, but he produced it, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not your favorite?
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't really a Kevin movie, though.
Did you see it?
Let's not forget the great Jersey Girl, which was just awful.
Hey, Zach and Miri Make a Porno, which you reminded me of last
week.
That was a Kevin Smith.
That was good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am kind of sad to see him go because I don't think he's that far off from Zach and Miri Make a Porno. I mean, that was 5-6 years ago.
That actually was a pretty good movie.
And I thought Red State, which was last year, was really good.
Did Red State do a wide release?
No. He independently released it himself. And so here's the thing. I just think it's like when great wrestlers say they're going to retire.
And
like
they never
Harry
do.
Funk. Yeah. Or
Ric Flair.
Who else says, yeah, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan.
Each retired 10 times.
They all say they're going to retire. They come back.
Yeah.
And by the way, is Kevin Smith really going to, let's say Hit Somebody, this hockey movie he's making, turns out to be a hit. And Warner Brothers comes to him and goes, yeah, I know Cop Out didn't work out, but Hit Somebody was great. We'll give you $30 million to make another movie. You think he's going to say no?
Clerks 3 coming in 2016.
Is that what you think?
Yeah.
Me too. So if his last movie is a hit, I'll give him a lot of credit if he walks away from that, but I just don't see it. I wouldn't. The economics don't make sense.
Well, you
sense.
Know, for a while he stopped and he got involved with, the Green Arrow comic book. Maybe he'll do something
like
that.
Well, he has a
lot
of things. He has the comic book Heroes or Villains show on AMC, the comic book store one. He has his own podcast. He won't do my show.
Why won't he do the show?
We were supposed to have him at one point when his book came out. He sent me the book like a month and a half in advance and everything. And then all of a sudden his claim was... And I don't know, whatever, maybe he's telling the truth. Kevin says on his bus, he gets no signal, and he was taking his bus everywhere to promote the book, and he gets no signal on the bus. True, false, what do you think?
Well, he's not on the bus anymore, is he?
No, and I've asked him. Here's the thing, we've talked about this on this show, I've talked about it on Andy Dare's show. Corolla, Kevin Smith, Mark Maron, Pollock, they all claim they're in like a society and they'll do everybody's podcast and they'll do anybody's podcast. Well, we've asked them all. They won't do this one. And by the way, I don't think we're small beans. I mean, on this week alone with the Frank Grillo rumor that I posted,
oh, no.
We were on 8,000 fucking websites.
No, by no means. That's not it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's maybe because you're competition in a certain way?
I think if that's true, they're in denial about it. I don't think they would ever admit that I'm competition.
Well,
here's the other thing that I've talked about on Andy Dare's show. I'm 29. These guys are 45, 50, 55.
Yeah.
I do think there's a little bit of the not trying to give the young buck a lot of credit.
Really?
Yeah. I'll give you an example. I'm doing this show to make a career. Those guys are doing this show, their shows, and I don't mean this in an insulting way, but they're doing it to save a career.
They're to keep themselves relevant.
They're doing it to keep themselves relevant and hang on. And I love Corolla, and he's got a million things going on. I really do like Adam. But if Adam was to tell you he did his show for a multitude of reasons, and one of them wasn't, I wanted to stay relevant since they canceled my radio show, I'd think he's full of shit.
Loveline, you're talking about?
No. He had a radio show. It was Adam Carolla's show. When Stern went to Sirius, CBS and Clear Channel made Carolla basically his replacement and David Lee Roth in some markets. And Carolla's show did well, but it didn't do well enough to sustain his budget. And Carolla was used to making X amount of dollars and didn't want to make less than that. And I really find it hard to believe that Carolla didn't start his podcast for... I would say the big reason is to stay relevant.
Well,
have as many irons in the pot as possible, right?
I guess.
Maybe it's just me, but how many people really listen to radio anymore?
Well, I guess enough that there are still some big shows and they still make money. I think there's definitely...
And I'm talking real radio, not like XM or Sirius.
There's way too many channels.
Yes.
But there are still big shows. Boers and Bernstein does huge ratings.
I hate them, too.
And they do huge ratings. McNeil and Spiegel do huge ratings. Roe and Roper do huge ratings.
I do listen to them.
I don't mind Roe.
They do huge ratings. I don't mind Roe, either.
Roe-Con's all right.
Roe...
Now, wait a minute!
Roe's a straight-up Republican, and I don't mind them. So that should tell you something.
No, Roe's good.
I like Roe.
How did Roper end up on that show?
When you star fuck enough, you get opportunities.
And they've been given role partners a lot, and they just never work out. And
no, they
this
don't.
One is actually last.
You know
remember Roe and Gary?
I'll tell you why this one worked out. Well, and Gary's a big
because
deal.
Because Roe now gets guests on he couldn't get.
That's
with
one.
Roper.
That's one, and I'll give you two. Roe probably sees Roper as somewhat of an equal in his field. In Roper's field, he would consider that an equal to what Roe does in Roe's field.
Okay.
And Roe probably gives him a little more respect. I think there's star fucking going on both sides of Roe and Roper. I think Roe star fucks Roper because of the Hollywood aspect. And I think Roper star fucks Roe because Roper lost the Ebert and Roper show. Roper's now doing some thing on Stars where he barely makes any money or real channels or whatever. And it's a good way for him to make money. And he's taking advantage of being the fact that he's local into Chicago and somewhat of a celebrity.
And I hate when Roper does that because then your buddy Steve Dahl replaces him for that day, and it's just god-awful.
Oh, has yeah. Dahl been on Rowan?
When Roper's on vacation doing the real stuff,
yeah, but Steve
Dahl's on, and he's just awful.
His last name should be Dahl.
Well, Dahl tried to get Carolla.
Your buddy.
My buddy. You mean the guy's show who I quit?
Yeah. After he worked there for 3 weeks.
And why'd I quit? No, it wasn't 3 weeks. No, it was like 6 months. But why'd I quit?
Because he called you...
A meatball. He was Italian. He was bashing my
What was his
heritage.
Nickname for you?
Meatball.
I thought it was... Okay.
Meatball?
I thought he called you... I thought there was a different
He
nickname.
Claimed everything I wanted to do had Italian motivation. And, you know, he would also make snide comments about the mafia and stuff.
Oh, Jesus. Really?
Yeah, he was a complete asshole about
it. You know, you should call your buddy at the Defamation Society.
But meanwhile, right? he was what, on a diet? And
he just started his diet. Yeah. I had to get Dahl's food all the time. I've never told this story. I had to get Steve's food all the time. And he was on a diet. And people laugh when Mikey says he's on a diet, and Mikey still gets like 2 burritos. They're grilled chicken burritos, so it don't matter.
Time out.
It's protein, Maddie. It's protein.
Don't bust my balls. I actually do diet well. You fucking know it.
You diet all right.
No, I diet well.
You're not as good as me.
I lost 100 pounds in 6 months, pal.
How long ago was that?
And you found it.
We're both, let's just agree on one thing. We're both doing pretty well. We both lost almost 30 pounds in the last month and a half.
But you should have lost 50.
How?
You have more to lose.
How do you figure?
You have way more to lose.
How do you figure?
Well, judging by the size of you, I'm going to go with Matt on this. And say you have a little more to lose.
Let's be honest. I think we both accomplished something nice here, pal.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
I'm just comparing it to when, okay, there was a point in time where Mikey didn't really start his diet, but he said he was starting his diet, and you would end up with 2 cheesesteaks and a slice of pie.
When was this? You mean a night out? Hold on. You mean a night out drinking all night, like a year and a half ago when we ended up at Philly's Best because you wanted to go there?
And I almost puked watching you two and Lenny eat.
So, any Hoosers.
That's in the past.
So, Steve Dahl.
Any Hoosers. So, Dahl would be on the what was formerly the Terzo diet. Now, Terzo diet's for real and does it really well. Clarification better for you?
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks, pal.
And Dahl would be like, I want to go to Baja Fresh and get me 2 burritos and a quesadilla. But make sure it's cheese and no beans and no rice. And I go, that'll get you down.
Did you have it when you get over there? When you're at, you got some grease you can throw in there?
Oh.
A little extra grease.
Yeah. Well, so Dahl tries to get Carolla a couple weeks ago to start charging for his podcast, and Carolla goes, "Dude, I'm never going to charge for my podcast," and it's the same thing I say. And Carolla said the same exact thing I'd say to Dahl. Carolla has Mangria. He has this new YouTube channel he's getting paid to run. He has, what else does he got going on, Adam? You know more than I do. His book. Well, none of those make money, though. So his book makes some money. What else is he doing to make money? 2 books? Audiobooks. Okay. So he has a lot of irons in the fire. Hey, Dahl, why don't you get off your lazy ass and do a project other than your fucking podcast, which you charge everyone for? True?
Yeah, and who in their right mind would pay for that?
Well, he gets probably 1,000 people that do.
Wendy and them don't count.
Wendy and them don't count. So I just think it's very interesting. I think that's the real answer. Dahl, put some more irons in the fucking fire.
Who cares? Why are we still talking about Steve Dahl?
Because it's my fucking show. And when you start paying for my fucking show, we'll talk about what you want to talk about. Thank you, Mikey. Had to be said. Okay. Anyways. Do you agree?
Yeah. No,
thank you. Thank you, Charles. Mikey, do you like Steve Dahl? Do you agree?
No, I'm not a huge fan of Steve Dahl.
I'm not a huge fan. Listen. The Mikey Terzo show we'll do next. We'll get that show up and rolling for you.
I just thought it was a dead topic.
It's not a dead topic. I'm not trying to blast you on the air here. I direct my show.
No,
Caesar tries to get me a move on. Fuck him. Pat tries me a move on. Fuck him. It's my show. So, anyways, Charles,
Matthew,
how are you?
I'm all right. I'm a little worried because I think I'm going to be out a couple $100 thanks to the NHL strike.
Why? Why is that?
Why are you out a couple hundred back. Bucks?
Season tickets.
Oh, your season tickets.
They'll refund you for
I know,
that.
I know.
What are you crying about?
I want to go games. I like puck.
Aren't they going to have a season? Is that what you're hearing?
Tonight's the deadline to where if they don't come up with a deal by midnight, the games that they cancel won't be made up. Supposedly, if they get a deal before midnight, they'll condense the season.
So, yeah.
And after tonight, I think they're going to keep a look for a couple games.
Is this strike about making money again?
Sure it is.
Well, yeah,
isn't every
absolutely.
Strike about making money?
Well, that's why I'm just...
Because the real problem is they have too many teams. That's it. They
well,
do
they
a
don't
revenue
make
sharing.
Enough money.
They do revenue sharing. And
baseball does revenue sharing, too.
Yeah.
I love baseball.
And there's teams that are not making money, like Arizona, which the league had to buy because the owner could afford to it and they couldn't find a seller. They really need to delete the team,
you know,
and make the talent pool stronger.
Here's kind of my feelings on that. It feels like every time, because right, remember baseball recently had a strike, and didn't basketball recently have a strike?
Last year.
Okay.
Hockey
so,
had one in 2005.
Oh, it's obviously known that hockey is, compared to baseball, football, and basketball.
It's a bastard step.
It is. And so they're obviously not paid as much.
Correct.
I feel like when they see the other player striking, then they feel like they get the urge to strike themselves.
Well, they're not striking. This is actually a lockout. But the owners want more of the revenue sharing. Right now, the players are getting 57%, and the owners want 50-50.
Huh? The owners want 50-50?
Yes.
I don't really give a fuck about all them.
You know what?
This is how I feel about people that go on strike.
Fuck you.
It's a lockout.
No offense.
Strike.
Yeah, whatever. Fuck you. I don't care. Dude, you know what? Your ticket prices are going up every year.
Yes.
Every year.
So our concession
your food
prices,
yeah. If for a beer and a slice of pie cost you $16. Maybe even more.
That's probably about right.
Listen, if you're going to go on strike and it's going to turn out that I'm going to have to pay more, how do I win in this? Fuck you. I'm going to stop going to games.
And a lot of people don't think that the NHL recovered from their last strike where they canceled the entire season.
I think a lot of sports fans, I shouldn't generalize, I think there is a good percentage of sports fans who are retarded. And
most of them can be heard every day on the Boris and Bernstein
yeah,
show.
And they can get fucked price-wise and don't care, and then will continue to show up no matter how many strikes there are.
Are you talking about with hockey fans?
Yeah, because they have no lives.
No, I will say this. People who are true hockey fans are devoted hockey fans.
No, I know that. That's the problem. They have no lives.
They're
so devoted
they're
that you can go on strike a million times and charge $100 a ticket, and they don't give a flying fuck.
Hey.
No. They're like, oh, you guys are raping me? Do it again!
Hey, I resemble that remark.
Yeah, you do resemble
no, really,
that remark.
I will say this. I guess this makes me kind of a fair weather fan in certain ways, but I'm a playoff hockey fan.
Oh, there's nothing better than playoff hockey. I'll take it over.
Would you agree
March
that playoff
Madness
hockey
or any of that
is actually kind of fun? Regular season hockey. Just
I was a big fan of hockey, and Charles knows this because we used to go when the Hawks sucked, and right after the strike.
Yeah.
$8 a ticket.
I am really getting sick of hockey and its attitude towards everything, and not just hockey. I think football's full of shit. For instance, football. These guys are dying from concussions. These guys are dying from brain injuries. And all they have to do is make a helmet that is better suited for hits. But they can't do that because they have licensing deals at places. And they have to license a certain helmet from a certain place. And
doesn't Riddell or Riddle or something like that make most of the helmets?
Nobody cares. And now, by the way, they found a way to make safer helmets.
You're right, they have.
And they told four or five companies, Nike, what's the...
Reebok.
No, yeah, Reebok. But what's the popular gym shirt everyone wears? X-something? Under Armour?
Under Armour.
So they tell all these companies, hey, if you guys can make safer helmet, we'll license it from you and only you. It's fucking horseshit. These guys don't care about protecting the players. They don't care about the fans. That's on the owner's side. On the player side, you are making an ungodly amount of money. And I know you're getting taxed and you're worried about having no career after hockey. But even if you retire with $3-4 million, which most of these guys do, if they're smart.
Not mentioning if they get endorsement deals.
Right. If they're smart, you retire with a couple $1 million. You never have to work again.
No.
So I'm sick of hearing people complain. It's basketball. That basketball strike was the worst. these fucking guys a minimum contract like $5 million. Are you fucking a minimum veterans contract is $5 million. Are you fucking kidding me? You need more money.
You know what it is, Maddie? It's that I think these guys get tied up in the world that they're stuck in with being on the team and all this stuff. So they start seeing people buying the cars, buying the houses, blowing the money, and they get stuck in this mindset. And all of a sudden, $5 million isn't enough money.
Well, absolutely. Look at all the players that are broke, former players that are broke. A lot of them have no money because they got caught up in that lifestyle. Got to buy.
But my point is, at the end of the day, they're fucking themselves. Whole point at the end of the day is the players are against the owners. The owners are against the players. But the people that always get screwed are the fans.
Absolutely.
Oh, in every situation.
Because in the end of the day, who's the one that has to pull the money out of their pocket to make this whole thing go
away? And by the way, who's paying for your salary?
Mm-hmm.
Me.
Yep.
Me. And like when Alex Rodriguez is hitting on broads at the Yankees game in the dugout, if I'm a Yankees fan and I'm paying for his fucking contract, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you should also be. I would be more upset for the 0 for 35 or whatever he was in the playoffs.
You know what? Performance is one thing as long as you're trying. As long as you're trying. As long as you're playing 100%, performance is one thing. It's like when you're firing a guy, right? You can't necessarily fire a guy just because he's bad at his job. You have to have some sort of reasoning behind it.
He's not showing up to work on time.
You have to have a fireable offense. Okay. So you can't fire Alex Rodriguez. But when you're hitting on broad, if you were hitting on a broad on the phone at work, some hot broad, Charles, calls into your work and complains, and you end up hitting on her, you should get fucking fired.
Yeah, but where I work, I'd probably get a raise.
That's true. You do fall ass backwards in the quote success.
Yeah, Chucky, you I hate my job. I'm going to get fired. I'm going to do something stupid. Chucky, how did it go? They gave me a promotion.
That's true.
They did.
That's true.
Not yet, though, so I still have to behave for the next 6 days.
Oh, okay.
5 days.
I don't know. I just think everyone gets fucked in those situations. Like, back to the Steve Dahl thing. The only people getting fucked in the Steve Dahl thing are the people paying for his fucking subscription.
There's a subscription?
That's what I was trying to tell you. He makes people pay for his podcast.
Wow.
Well, Kevin Matthews is a part of his network, so he has to. It's part of the deal. And it's the way that they make money. But they're not making that much money, and they're really putting a glass ceiling. And Dahl's issue with Corolla was, dude, if you would do it and set the standard that we should all have people pay for our podcast, we could all be making money, and it would help me.
No, it wouldn't, because if I had to choose between Corollas and Dahls, I would obviously take Corollas.
But once again, it comes
down
to... And
you start paying for podcasts, it gets expensive.
Yeah, my big argument on those guys is, and I would say this to Dahl's face, irons in the fire, pal. Come up with something else. Use your podcast to help you promote another project you're doing. That's what I'm doing.
As a media outlet.
I've never one time thought about charging for my podcast. Because one, I don't think anybody... Even my hardcore fans, my mother wouldn't pay for it.
I probably wouldn't pay for it.
And that's not to rip on our product. Our product's great. But the standard out there is radio's free.
And it should be.
Okay? And when you're saying you're above the standard, you better be Michael fucking Jordan. You better be Howard fucking Stern, who's on Sirius and it costs $12 a month to listen. Okay? You are the standard. And when your ego gets bigger than the standard, that's when people start calling you out on bullshit.
Yep.
And that's why I think Dahl has not realized he's not the Steve Dahl anymore. He's not Mr. Chicago Radio. He's not the original Shock Jock anymore. And I don't think he's realized that yet. So I think
he's still living on his stupid disco demolition thing from 1978 or whatever.
Is that when he was popular?
Yeah. He was huge in the mid-70s. Huge.
He's still living on disco demolition.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even Howard Stern's giving him credit saying, you know, you're the original guy. Dahl was the original. That's great. But unfortunately, this is the real world, and that doesn't hold any fucking water anymore.
No.
So what have you done for me lately, world?
It's not to be mean. It's just me saying to Steve Dahl the facts. Like everyone argues about these debates in Fox News and MSNBC and whatever, and they're all arguing about facts. Facts is all that matters. Well, this is the facts. The facts is this is the real world. And it's, what have you done for me lately? And you can no longer, this is why celebrities don't make $20 million a movie anymore. What did your last movie do? That's all we care about anymore. You don't get a quote anymore. We don't give a fuck. Even Brad Pitt said, Brad Pitt's got to make like 5 movies a year to make what he used to make in one movie, because that is what it is now. That's why he's doing Chanel No. 5 commercials they just did. It is, what have you done for me lately? Oh, Mikey knows this. We've talked about this.
Oh, yeah.
That's reality. This is just real-world shit here, man.
And, it, you know, it's starting to come, that whole idea is starting to play through in a lot of professional industries, too.
Yeah, and I know if Steve ever heard this, he'd hate me even more and think I'm a disrespectful asshole.
Oh, Jesus.
But even if he thinks I'm a disrespectful asshole and hates me, this is some unbiased advice, pal. What have you done for me lately? It's true. And you have to make a product that people want to buy. Or advertisers want to pay for. Sorry. Life. Whether you hate me or not. Just giving you the real... Because, you know, some of these guys were such big deals, and you guys know this, in Hollywood, there's a bunch of yes-men surrounded by them. And they go, oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, yeah. Yes to everything. Okay, I'm telling you from one guy to another, and I don't give a fuck if you ever hate me, what you're fucking doing is not going to work.
No.
I think more people in Hollywood need that. Someone to go, listen, this is a stupid idea.
Yeah, no. No, you should never charge for a fucking podcast. That's not the standard.
No.
You know, Mark Maron's smart. The last 100 shows you could listen to for free. Before that, you have to pay a buck. Well, listen, if you're 100 shows behind Mark Maron and you just discovered him, okay, you got to pay for the Robin Williams interview or whatever that was 150 episodes ago. That's not a bad idea. I don't hate that you have to pay for the archives, deep in the archives, not recent archives. That's not bad. But, I mean, that's one way to do it and
you
not
just
look
get
like
it
a
on
jackal.
YouTube for
so,
free.
So,
and that's the other thing. You get all this on YouTube for free.
Then here, maybe somebody wants to hear Shelley Leibowitz number one, 25 cents.
Yeah, right, 25 cents. I heard from Shelley today. We talked.
How is he doing?
He's doing good. He's got a new charity thing he's working on, which actually doesn't cost anybody a dollar to donate to or anything. It's all... It basically involves, I'll read you what Shelley sent me, because I want to be fair about this. I don't want to just fucking,
you know,
yeah.
If we have time, that is something that somebody we should try to see when we're done.
Yeah, he wants to do the show again. And, I would love to talk to you about something I'm involved with that provides funding for arts, music, sports, and after school programs for our schools. It's unique because it costs nothing to taxpayers, consumers, or businesses. It's called Swipe for the Kids. I don't know what it entails. Obviously, he wants to come on the show and talk about it, and we will. Anything that helps after-school programs and arts in the school, I'm all for. Because I think if we had more after-school programs, you may have a little less shootings on the north on the south side of town.
Yeah, but they still have to show up for the after-school programs.
Well, right. But here's the thing. You know, people complain about affirmative action and whatever, and I'm not going to get into that. That's all politics. But there's another side to that. If these kids really do want to learn, and we're not offering them the opportunity to learn.
Oh, no, I agree.
We're not really helping.
The option should be there.
Listen, for every, yes, there may be 100 kids in the ghetto and 90 of them are in a gang. Who knows? But if there's 10 that really want to learn and the option's not there, we may have just put 100 kids in a gang.
You know, in my school they had something similar like this. And what they would do is that enough people had to sign up for it. Like, if they did a class, they'd say, okay, 10 people need to sign up for this stuff to do it. I just say they do something like that.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, once again, like everything else in the real world, it comes down to dollars and cents.
Yeah.
If you can't pay someone to be there, but here's the thing. If you can't pay someone to be there, there's got to be teachers out there that or responsible people in the community who would donate their time to supervise these after-school programs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, if there was an after-school program once a week, I'd fucking do it. I don't care. Great. It's an hour. It's an hour out of your fucking week.
And you know what? When you become an adult, as much as you have no time, you also start to realize an hour goes by like that.
Right. I do think we have a responsibility, though, as Americans, to give back. And I don't mean diversify your funds. I mean give back in other ways.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing that's been talked about a lot in debate lately is diversifying the funds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No redistribution of wealth.
I
want to know about the binder full of women.
He stole that from you.
I still think one of the best.
The Mike binder full of women?
I have the Sam Malone little black book.
I still think one of the best was one of the best political photos I saw was when they had Clinton coming around the corner with this.
Oh, I know.
On his face.
Yeah, I know.
What's this binder about? A women we heard?
That was funny.
Yeah.
But listen, on the political notion here, not getting too political, but I like a lot of things in this election. And here's the thing. Everyone gives crap to these people who are undecided about voting. I don't think they're just as much undecided as they're trying to pick between the lesser of two evils. Because here's the problem. These guys either agree on everything or their differences are so extreme. They're so extreme that you're like, well, this extreme's not realistic, but neither's this extreme. Neither extreme's realistic. Okay, so you kind of are trying to figure out, well, what are some things? Listen, it's ridiculous to say there should be no redistribution of wealth. I mean, that's in even a capitalist society, there's redistribution of wealth. Thanks, Shawnee. Right to the mouth. but it's ridiculous to say everyone should redistribute their wealth. There's no middle ground with these guys, and I think that's a lot of the problem. No, I think people are like, how do we compromise on this shit? There's no one that wants to do a compromise.
I think good redistribution of wealth, in my mind, is a sprawling economy with people out spending their money at businesses and spending their money out doing something.
The only problem is this, and there's facts to show for it, and I don't want to get too political, but,
yeah,
but there's facts to show for it that big business has done really well under Obama, and the fact that there hasn't been more jobs than there should be, it kind of does make you wonder why. And I'm not trying to give Obama credit or no credit here. I don't think it had anything to do with Obama. It has to do with the mentality. You know, I was watching something the other day, and someone had a really interesting point. And we don't ever think about this because we're not in the 1% that they call the 1%, whatever, the people that make over $8 million or whatever. They're thinking, if they're decent human beings, and we can't assume anyone's just all scumbags. So let's say there's a good percentage of the 1% that are actually decent human beings. But their thought is, well, if they do this and it helps me, it helps everybody. Just like we think, or just like, you know, the families in the south side of Chicago are like, well, if they give more welfare and more food stamps, that gets us on our feet, it helps everybody. The rich people are thinking the same thing. Well, if there's not as many banking restrictions, if there's not as many restrictions on where I put my money, that helps everybody. So we do forget that. We tend to forget that. And, you know, this is where MSNBC, I think, gets things wrong, is they look at rich people as evil people right off the bat.
Which is wrong.
And by the way, Fox News gets a lot wrong, too. Let's just get that out there. There's really no unbiased news source in this country. And CNN's laughable for saying it. But MSNBC gets wrong by saying all the rich people are pretty much Satan. They're not. They're looking at it from their point of view. In their mind, they feel if you help them, you're helping out other people. Now, if they follow through on that or whatever, that's a different story. But it doesn't mean their thoughts aren't there. So I think we sometimes forget what the thoughts are of the one, quote, 1% or the upper 10%, whatever. We don't think like them, so we don't think about those things.
I think
fair?
I think it is fair, and I think the motivation of a 1%er can be very different whether or not it's a privately owned company or a publicly traded company, too.
Yeah, and then, you know, we're going to be talking to Mandy Stattmiller, and hopefully there'll be no political talk there unless she has some – well – She may have issues with all these women's rights things, I'm sure. You know, that kind of blows my mind. I have no political leaning in this at all. I have no game to hunt in this. I'm not gay, so I have no game to hunt whether gay marriage is pro or con. I have no game to hunt whether abortion is pro or con, because I'll never have a kid.
Right.
What does shock me, though, from an unbiased point of view, which I have no opinion on. I have no opinion on, because I have no game in the hunt. Is that there are like an equal amount of women voting for Romney. That
yeah.
kind of blows my mind.
Why?
Well, because first thing Obama did when he got in office, first thing is he made the law for equal wages for women. And
not at the White House.
But that's the first thing he did. First thing he did. And he put more women in lead positions in the White House than any president ever. Okay. That's the first thing he did. And then there are guys out there, and I'm not saying all Republicans are like this. I don't think this is true at all. But there are Republicans out there who do want to make abortion completely illegal. completely illegal, no contraception, all that kind of shit. It would be basically murder to murder your child. And there are guys that want to go that far where they make it murder. I am shocked. Women, it's half and half. I mean, if I was a woman, I think they'd bother me. I'm kind of shocked by it. I'm unbiased, but I don't give a shit. No offense. I know people are listening and they're like, oh, you're not a good American. You don't give a shit. I don't. It doesn't affect me. It does not affect me. But if it affects you, why are you voting one way or the other? I don't know. I don't know. You don't hear about gays being half and half with Romney and Obama, right?
No.
You don't hear about blacks being half and half with Romney and Obama or Latinos. So why women? I just don't get it. Are there still a lot of Stepford wives out there that just do whatever their husbands want? Do you think that's part of it?
No.
I want to ask Mandy about this. Are there still a lot of Stepford wife women out there?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, Chucky, you say I don't think so, but what about all these broads that stand next to their husbands who are senators or congressmen and say, I want to make abortion completely illegal and I want to be able, you know, they want to be able to
physically. I think there are some women that believe abortion is wrong, immoral.
Yeah, I agree.
Really?
With that. Yeah.
Yeah. There are some highly religious nut jobs out there.
I think,
just saying that to be silly.
But you don't think that's a little Stepford wivey?
No. Stepford wives are robots.
So you're saying there's no women that act like robots out there?
No.
No. No.
Wow. No. Well, at least you two still want to get laid. Good answers.
Yes.
I obviously don't care.
I would have no interest in being in a relationship with a girl that was like a robot. It would be no fun.
Mikey, we've talked about your standards. We know. You're like the Harry Truman of standards.
Oh, the Harry.
Okay.
He
what the hell
to
is
have
that
fun? Leave him alone.
That means Mikey's looking for the perfect woman, and God bless.
And Matt just looking for a girl that will cook, clean, and
no,
jump
I'm
on
just in the
while.
Real world.
He likes dead fish.
I'm in the real world. The perfect woman, like the perfect man outside of me,
no,
doesn't exist.
It's not about being perfect.
We know there's one perfect man out there, and he's sitting here talking.
I've noticed. We've noticed.
I didn't know he was acknowledging
you
like
you must
that,
have taken extra test cream today.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, you did.
Okay.
Extra.
Well, we got 20 minutes. So, to the Mikey Terzo show. What do you want to talk about right now, Mikey?
No, I'm
you
good.
Got anything?
No, I'm good.
No, come on.
No, no.
Come on. I busted your ball before. So, what do you want to talk about? What do you got on your mind? Anything going on?
Honestly, no. Whatever.
Well, you're saving it all
I
for Mandy.
I got blown right out of my mind.
Or are you saving it all for Mandy?
We'll have a nice conversation with
Mandy.
Oh,
what did you think of Seven Psychopaths?
Seven Psychopaths is great, actually.
Yeah?
I thought it was one of the most creative movies I've seen in a while.
What did you like about it?
You know what? I was a huge fan of Woody Allen and Sam Rockwell in the movie. I just like poppy fun
and Chris Walken.
Yeah, and oh god. I mean, come on. You know, it's funny, Maddie, because when I had no idea what this movie was when you brought it up to me,
mm-hmm.
And I got over to Movie Co. I went upstairs, and I go. I'm talking to the girl. I'm going. I'm supposed to see this movie.
That's a nice theater, by the way.
It is a great
Movie Co.
Yeah,
good one in Rosemont.
And I'm going. I'm supposed to see the Seven Psychopaths movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, do you know anything about it? She's like, well, here's a paragraph. And I saw Sam Rockwell. I saw Woody Allen. I saw, you know,
Woody Harrelson.
Chris
Walken.
Yeah, Chris Walken, Woody Harrelson, not Woody Allen.
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. Yeah. And I went, you know, this is going to be a great movie. And it was.
And it was. It was good.
There's a lot of movies.
You know what?
Chucky,
you know what?
You can
Chucky,
come.
We've invited you a million times.
Yeah, I didn't get invited to this one.
Well, you never go.
So, because it's always last
just
minute.
Just like you guys stop inviting me downtown every weekend because you know I ain't fucking going half the time. You never go, so
I
forget.
I do go to movies with you guys.
Yeah, here and there.
Yeah. Chucky, I think I've...
I've already... I
we're
like,
cultural.
The
that's
next,
all I'm saying.
The
Juliana,
next movie,
Lenny, Mikey, and I, we're cultured.
We go to the flicks. Movies. I'm going to see Skyfall. Without a doubt.
Yeah, you and the rest of the planet Earth.
You know, I still want to see Looper. I haven't gotten around to see that.
Why don't you branch out and see some indie flicks?
I don't have time for that.
His last name's not Capreas.
I don't have time for that Capreas. Oh, Capreas hates Seven Psychopaths.
I'm aware.
I can tell you and I are sweating under these lights. These lights are too low, Mike.
Have you noticed?
Yeah. Well, me too. Because I'm feeling it, and then I'm looking at you and just thinking of sweat because I'm feeling it.
Yeah, the IPA head's not helping either.
No, you and I are on a bunch of prescribed medications that don't help us.
No.
Charles is dry as a bone.
Prescribed.
Yeah, I'm not hot at all.
What prescribed? Mikey, I was trying to be politically correct, so the feds don't come knock at your door.
There'd be no reason for them to show up.
Exactly, because they're all deprived.
There's no meds. No meds.
Oh, no meds. No meds.
They're not meds, Matt.
Wait, you just said IPA like 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's a beer.
Oh, it's the beer. Oh, the beer you had from Adam.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was good. I don't drink anymore.
Yeah. 11 months over.
Good for you.
Very good.
Yeah. That's why I never encourage it.
Oh, very nice. Thank you, buddy.
Never encourage sobriety or drinking?
What?
Which one do you not encourage, drinking or sobriety?
Oh, no, the drinking.
Oh, okay.
By the way, 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Mandy Stadmiller, XOJane.com. I encourage you to go to XOJane.com and tune in, especially if you're interested in what guys, girls think, love, all that shit. We're going to be talking about it. So that's the big deal. I'm really looking forward to this. I have always liked Mandy Stadmiller. I think she is she's very honest.
Yeah, I read a couple of her blogs since you posted them on Facebook, and I was scrolling through reading some of the old ones. Some of it's very interesting.
You never feel like she's BSing, right?
No, I don't always agree with what she says. But
no,
I don't
but
feel,
you never
I,
feel
no,
like she's BSing.
I never feel like
you.
She's BSing.
No, she's good. She's got some great articles. The one you post, there's been a couple you posted on your Facebook page. That one a while back that you posted, but with the what was there 17 steps that I've read that before, and that was good. It was good. I the only thing I would say is some of these things, when men write stuff like this, it's like you always got to like look at that one guy in the room and be like, oh, well, pal, this is only when the girl actually likes you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think she's really smart about that kind of stuff.
She is. So. She's great.
I did like that one article she posted about I can tell if I fucked from your Twitter feed.
That was funny.
It's funny, kind of true, right?
Yeah, but I can honestly say I don't ask for a girl's Twitter feed.
No, but when you're on when you first meet them, you're picking up strange ass, though, Chucky.
Yeah.
Okay. Mikey, we don't pick up as much strange ass. We like to confine ourselves sometimes to women we actually know.
Or actually do like.
That sounded like a shot. Like, you know, we only confine ourselves to women we know. And going to a bar and talking to a stranger.
You are the king. You are the king of strange ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mikey, if you were reading a woman Facebook that you know, and I already know the truth about this from you, so don't lie. And if she sounds crazy or she sounds cool, that does affect the way you feel about her, doesn't it?
Oh, it absolutely does.
You know whether you'd fuck her or not from her Facebook feed.
There
have been times, I've never heard you say I want to fuck her because of her Facebook feed, but I've heard you point out hot women that are like, I would never fuck this broad ever.
Oh, no.
Crazy.
I've noticed, like, these girls are always post this, like, you know, and I know a couple of girls that I'm friends with on Facebook, and you always see it pop up. They'd be like, you know, life's always going to be good, and tomorrow's going to be even better.
Male friends that post that
right.
Shit.
Well, no, there's guys that do it, too, or, like, they'll post these.
How do you feel about those male friends?
I want to beat the crap out of every single one of them. Every time I read something about, like, tomorrow's a better day.
Are they a little hoo-hoo?
I will find my unicorn.
They're a little hoo-hoo.
Yeah, they're a little.
Do they really say that? I will find my unicorn?
No,
someone say that.
He does. He always refers to the girl that he's going to marry as, like, one day I will find my unicorn.
Does she know
one
he's
day.
Gay? I'm just wondering.
I don't know.
What were you saying, though, Mikey?
No, I'm just saying there's... I think it's an allude into the psychologist, the person behind it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And yeah. Mandy did a great interview with Artie Lang when Artie Lang got kind of on the wagon again and was performing again. You know what I love about Mandy? She just doesn't give a fuck. She is. Someone called her this on Twitter, and it's absolutely true. She is the nicest. She is the meanest nice person you'll ever meet because she's so brutally honest. She will ask you, there are no questions off limits. There's nothing off limits with this girl. Nothing. Nothing. She's great. I'm a big fan of hers. I'm really looking forward to this. You know, not often we have journalists on either.
No, I think this is going to be a good switch.
Excuse me. Every week.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Charles, do you even update your Blogspot anymore?
No.
You're not a journalist.
Did you say Blogspot or Baldspot?
Baldspot gets updated daily.
It expands daily to get updated. There's a difference.
An update. Well, it's a downgrade. It gets downgraded daily.
Don't worry, Chuck. I think you started falling off faster because of the comment.
Well, when I get a forehead like Matt, I'll worry.
Oh, come on. This is a five bed.
Yeah, it's a seven or an eight. Actually, it's a three. You got the shape of a three going on there.
You know, I feel like you need to get your own bobblehead doll made, man.
My own bobblehead doll?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, Matt. I'm loving it.
No one's complaining. No one's complaining. But where's Luisa tonight?
Adam, my
we'll
joke.
Find out after the show.
I'm loving it. The golden arches. I want to also ask Mandy why she won't quit. You've been there, Charles, talking about my hairline.
Careful, he took extra testosterone.
Yeah, I yelled at Mikey, you're next.
All right, Goldberg.
I'm saving all my anger for him when Mandy calls in.
Oh,
when
he
talks
you?
About,
I'm friends with this girl at work.
Oh,
I would never
even.
Go near her. Blah, blah, blah.
I have no
so
interest
full,
in her.
Whatever.
Yeah,
so full of
Maddie,
cock. It's
Maddie, if you don't have interest in a girl, I mean.
He's so full of cock about it, though, Mikey. It's not even funny.
Full of cock?
I'm not interested. And I do. There is no penis anywhere near me. Except Mikey.
You don't have a penis, Charles?
Yeah, besides
well,
my
we
own.
Need to talk more. We or less.
No wonder he had the anal bead.
I also want to talk to Mandy about why she won't quit smoking. I can't quit either. And why we're choosing death over over life there. And by the way, it's Mandy's birthday today. So
really?
Be kind and wish her a happy one.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mandy.
Yeah, she posted about 37 things she learned or something. To go on with her birthday.
By the way, Caesar made a good point. Is there anything more annoying than people professing their love for each other on Facebook?
Shmoopy style? No, there's nothing more annoying.
Shmoopy style?
Shmoopy.
You mean when like Shmoopy. Like you're friends with two people that are dating?
Yeah.
And you're friends with them on Facebook, and like you'll check your status.
Or just one of the people.
Oh, whatever.
And they're always talking about their man.
Or they'll be like, smoochies, honey, love, kisses, X's and O's,
yep.
Hope you have a good day at work.
Oh, you mean I'm from wall to wall?
Right.
Yeah. I'm talking about status updates.
Oh,
where they're
God.
Like, I'm so in love.
Yeah. You know what's even more surprising about
no one
this?
Gives a shit. You know?
Caesar had a good point. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Caesar's had some good points in the past.
I know. He has.
He has. I love how past tense you made that sound.
He has and will continue to.
There you go. Very nice.
I'm now politically correct.
Listen, we're all being nice correct. To each other today because I yelled at Mikey and I had to apologize. We're all being nice to each other now. It was entertaining, though.
Thank
I
you.
I think
Andy.
The fans liked it.
I'm sitting here and all of a sudden I'm like,
well, because this is Mikey, though. And I know our fans are going to listen to this and go, yep. This is Mikey, though. He has like the what do you call it when the scene cutter?
Oh yeah, I always think about the Ghostbusters
goes,
trap.
Okay,
when I
take six. cut. Little big Marty Scorsese over here. The thing that ate Marty Scorsese over here. Directing the show.
Maddie, it's a dead issue. We're just gonna move on.
Tobias says I do it all the time in the form of Kate Kelton and Ann Lopez.
You do.
Talking about
you posted about Kate Kelton today.
You did, actually.
So? It wasn't schmoopy.
It's getting there.
Are you starting a Facebook fantasy here, man?
She liked it and commented on it, so I don't know if it's much of a fantasy.
Oh, okay.
But Kate and I's business is Kate and I's business. I'm
then
not
posting on Facebook for the rest
listen,
of the day.
Listen, we all know I'm pretty accurate in the rumor department, as my Frank Grillo rumor was this week. There may be rumors about Kate Kelton and I. I will not confirm or deny.
Yeah, I haven't heard any.
Anyway. So
none of you have to.
No.
For the sake
I was on TMZ. I didn't see anything about you.
For the sake of you, Maddie, I'm just going to throw this out here. But I'm sure if anything happened, we would never find out.
You don't, I don't kiss and tell. I'm a gentleman.
You'll kiss and scream on the mountain.
By the way, I was on like 8,000 websites this week. No one wants to say congratulations over here.
Yeah, congratulations.
I started a rumor about Frank Grillo playing Crossbones in the next couple Marvel movies. And we'll see if I end up being right about that or not. I think there may be some apologies coming my direction from certain media members who wanted to question my rumor mongering.
Well, you'll see. I guess we'll have to find out if it's true.
I just think some people should consider me more of a credible source.
You never know.
The internet doesn't seem to give me a lot of credit sometimes.
You've broken a lot of stories on the show.
Yeah, well, they always make, like, snarky comments when I break news. Like, yeah. Joe Blow. First of all, I gave Joe Blow the story 3 days ahead of time. They did nothing with it. Second biggest movie website out there. They did nothing with it, sat on it. Then everyone else posted about it, so finally Joe Blow posts about it. And they go, in a snarky fashion, they go, Matthew Aaron obviously had to get something off his chest this weekend. Okay. And then someone else said, oh, you know how reliable Matthew Aaron is on Twitter.
Well, like I've lied to you before. Like I've said something that's
true.
They're
just jealous that they didn't find out first.
I think that's kind of true.
It is.
I think it's kind of true. They don't like me breaking stories because I'm not at any cool news.
You know, I don't mean to go too far into the past. I just want to bring something up.
No, the past is always
That irritates me. When you made comments about these guys not doing your show because you're the young buck.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say something that I fought with my entire life, which is so irritating, is why the fuck does my age matter? Why the fuck does your age matter? Anybody's age
matter?
Because it should be about content and credibility, not about age.
It's also a political reason. Mikey, if you and I start taking over, who loses jobs? The old people, the older crowd. So if I become a success, because I did Adam Carolla's show, or Adam Carolla did my show, and all of a sudden my ratings skyrocket due to Adam. Adam may not get anything out of that. I may get everything out of that.
So it comes back to kind of what I was talking about. You're almost competition.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever admit that, because I think Hollywood's very PC. But as we know, for better or for worse, I don't usually keep my mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing. I feel like I'm running for politics, saying how I'm going into Hollywood here, but. That's the one thing you can rely on from me. I'm not going to bullshit you about shit.
Is someone going to offer $5 million to see your college transcripts?
Did you see that today?
Well, he's such a fucking idiot. He really is a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. He's an idiot.
In his own mind.
In his own mind. See, Mikey's thinking like the 1%. There you
go, Mikey. I'm just telling you. I've realized recently that a lot of people in their own mind see things as making sense when nobody else does.
I think Donald knows exactly what he's doing. I think Donald wants press.
Yeah, it's all about Donald.
Yeah, I think Donald knows damn well nothing's going to happen. Because if we know one thing about rich people, they don't like to redistribute their wealth. So he's not giving $5 million to any charity.
I think he would do it. He would do it.
Yeah, he would do it, but he knows there's no chance of it happening. He wants the press. Why do you think he didn't put out a press release? He goes on video and does this Skype interview with himself. By the way, no one interviewing Donald. Skype by himself. Who by themselves Skypes? Who Skypes themselves? Can you even do that?
I don't know.
Somebody with multiple personalities.
I don't know. It was obviously a stream because you saw it, right? It looked like
a
stream.
I heard about it.
Oh, it was very interesting.
I was at work. I can't goof around on the
internet. I will tell you this. People that hate Donald, I don't really like people that hate anybody because you don't really know them. And by the way, you just hate their opinion or you hate something they're doing. But by saying you hate Donald, you're making him out to be the worst person on the planet, which... I don't think that's necessarily true. There's way worse people than Donald Trump.
I had the pleasure of actually meeting Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Snooki.
And I got to be honest. He's a very intelligent guy. He's not stupid.
Listen, well, and that's regardless. I just think politics, especially this election, has caused a lot of people to hate a lot of people. I think it's fucking bullshit.
It is arrogant.
I think you should separate politics from the person.
I agree.
And listen, I don't think Donald's the worst guy ever. I think he's entertaining. I think he's smart. I think he's funny. I think he's a funny guy on purpose. Funny. I think he's funny
and
on purpose.
He's actually pretty tall too. You'd be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
He's not.
No, I know
short.
He's tall. I watch his show, his television show. But I don't think Donald's that bad. I mean, I think this shit's goofy. But whatever. I'm not going to hate him for it. Why do people got to hate people? Because they do, even if they do stupid shit that is somewhat maybe a little offensive. Why do you hate the guy? Just look at it as funny.
It's like these people, I hate Mitt Romney or I hate Obama. Like, really?
I don't hate Mitt Romney.
No, I don't hate Mitt Romney.
I don't hate Obama either. I don't hate either of them.
I'd actually like to meet them both.
Yeah, I don't hate either of them.
I think it'd be cool to go out and have a dinner with them.
You know the people I hate?
All politicians.
Let's just get this out here. Here's who I hate. Here's who I hate. People that do stuff against your family and loved ones, friends, whatever. And people that are directly coming after you with bad intent. And, you know, I guess in a way we have to hate terrorism and other countries and stuff. By the way, that's all old gray, too. That's all
can
old
be.
Gray, too. So those are the kind of people I hate. The people that are intentionally out to hurt you. I don't think Donald Trump's intentionally out to hurt Obama, by the way. I just think Donald, in his own mind, like Mikey said, thinks he's right and doing what he thinks is best for the country.
Yeah.
Can you hate a guy for that?
Sometimes it's not the action.
Even if he's wrong,
it's,
can you hate
what you're
him?
Saying is it's not always about the action, but the intention and the mind of the person making it.
He said something very smart about Alex Rodriguez on Fox News this week.
Yeah.
I don't think Donald's always wrong or a bad guy. I don't think he's a bad dude. His daughter seems lovely. I've never met her. She's hot. Yeah, and she seems lovely. His sons seem like good people. Donald's very charitable. I don't know. He doesn't seem like a bad dude. And you know, and you know, business is business.
He definitely has a good sense of humor because he puts himself in situations where he knows.
Oh, Donald loves the press.
Yeah, he knows he's going to be made fun of.
Well, because he's making himself a brand.
And by the way, yeah, when Donald attacks people like Rosie O'Donnell and stuff, once again, take that with a grain of fucking salt. Who cares? It's funny. Just
look at Rosie O'Donnell.
If you look at stuff as funny, because not everything's the fucking Holocaust, people. And I'm not saying that to stir controversy. But not everything is fucking 9/11. Not everything is the Gulf War. Not everything is the worst thing in the world. If Mitt Romney or Obama win this election, it is not 9/11 catastrophic. It is not fucking World War II. Calm the fuck down.
Like these people that are like, if so and so gets elected, I'm moving to France.
And none of those people ever move.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you ready to call Mandy?
Yes.
Sure.
All right. I know, right?
Hello?
Hi, is this Mandy?
Yeah.
Mandy, this is Matthew Aaron. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sitting here with my friend Jessica Delfino, who I just wrote about on Exo Jane. Hi.
Oh, well, how come I didn't read this yet? Was this today?
No, it was a couple days ago. You should definitely look up Jessica Delfino, though, because she's totally internet famous and beyond famous and has lots of really funny songs that are sexual and hilarious in nature.
Yeah, we love her to
say
this
stuff. We love sexual and hilarious. It's your birthday, so I'm sure you weren't listening to the show, but we were talking about all your great articles that we really are into and stuff. I got to tell you, first of all, this is my birthday gift to you. I wanted to tell you how much I dig you. I think you're fantastic. I love your honesty. And I think you're one of the original columnists out there.
Wow, you've totally, that is a huge birthday gift. Thank you so much.
I really mean that because a lot of people bullshit. And a lot of people, I just never get the feeling you're bullshitting in your articles.
No.
Oh, yeah. I try not to. So.
Well, let me ask you about this because this is what got my audience all fucking excited about you. Was your article "How to Ask Out a Woman If You Really Like Her" and also "How to F the Shit Out of Her Brains"?
I have a new tip I would like to add to that.
Please do it. Do it.
Okay, so before I decided that I wasn't going to hook up until I'm in a serious relationship, I was still kind of in the throes of my, it's totally embarrassing to say, but sex and love addiction. And my roommate had this hot guy visiting, and he came into my room and was flirting with me and talking to me. And I was like, okay, clearly this is like sexual tension. And then I hooked up with him a little bit. But here's what I want to say. Here's what he did. Is I said, I kind of want you to touch my leg. Because I'm very good at instant sexualization of any situation because, I don't know, I'm a fucking damaged pickup artist or something. But so he traced my entire leg with his fingertips, and I completely orgasmed without him even doing anything. And I just want to tell for any men listening out there to fucking just do shit like that because that is so much more erotic than like, than just like fucking eager, desperate cuddlingness
I don't mean to be the Better Business Bureau here, but what does he get for doing that to your leg?
He got a blowjob, and we did a little role play scenario where I was the student trying to get an A. It was just like, anytime it's like emotionless sex like that, I try and just like go full on like porno, evil, dark times, cokey type sex since I don't do drugs anymore, you know?
Mandy, what do we do about women? And, you know, I'm sure Jessica has opinions on this, but what do you do about women who you do that for and they do nothing in return for?
Well, they're probably, you probably just chase them the rest of your life and want to marry them because they are cold, inaccessible, never pleased, frigid model types. And that's exactly what men like. And they spend their whole lives chasing that to try and get a reaction and to feel good and to satiate their mommy complex and whatnot. So I guess that's what you do is, or you recognize that that's the dynamic that's happening and you date like a fun, fucky girl like me who like actually likes to come and likes to have sex, you know, but I don't know. I mean, you can't change someone from who they are. You know what I mean? So
I'm here.
Does that make it?
Yes, Mandy, that makes a lot of sense.
Mandy, I just want to say,
Mike, introduce yourself.
My name is Mike Ierzo. I'm another, I guess, the co-host or guest on the show commonly. And I just want to say that, Mandy, I think you just might have nailed it on the head as much as possible. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's tragic is like, I know how to fucking game a guy. Like I absolutely do. Like I read a speech from Why Men Marry Bitches to a guy that I dated one time, and it worked like fucking gangbusters. But, like, I just, at my core, like, I am pathologically honest and authentic, and I just hope to someday find someone who I don't have to do that fucking Pavlovian bullshit with, you know what I mean? But yeah, you know, evolution, he's just not that into you. There's definitely truth to all of that stuff.
So, Mandy, what do you do to convince yourself when there's a guy who may not be the type of guy you're into looks-wise that you would still get together with them? Why would you do it?
Well, I was just telling Jessica, because Jessica is going to set me up with some of her hot, brilliant friends, and she was asking me if looks were important. And I said no, because I have a daddy complex, and my dad is a injured combat vet who took 2 AK-47 rounds in the face and has had more than 150 reconstructive surgeries. So I've never been like a lookist person, which I realize isn't like a funny answer, but it's like a clinically correct answer. Although, you know, don't get me wrong, like a good looking guy, you know, it's like fucking terrific. But actually, I don't really like just good looking guys. You have to, if you are funny and smart, like that's my crack, and then if you seem to care about my emotions, then it's just like fucking freebasing dude. You know what I mean?
It sounds like Mandy should be smoking me then. That sounds great. Charles, what do you have for Mandy? You read her articles today. You read a bunch of them, huh?
Yeah.
We were talking about the Twitter.
And we were talking about,
and that guy, can I just say, that guy is such a fucking champ. He emailed me and he asked me to tweet out, because I essentially told him, I was like, listen, why don't you get together with someone who might potentially fuck you, you know, and do a Craigslist ad and all these women can like apply and you'll find, like, you're a catch. You're just not, I just am a weird person in terms of like just normal, boring, like white bread guys just bore the shit out of me and like make me want to hang myself, you know, which is really kind of lame, but, you know, whatever. Like, I'm sure that's something like Woody Allen would say, right? Not to compare myself to Woody Allen, but I mean, like, doesn't he write a lot about like the alienation of trying to find someone who you have a human connection with? That's all I'm saying.
You're right, and you do have a daddy complex, so would you fuck Woody Allen?
I fuck Woody Allen? No, because I had a big discussion with Jessica tonight about boundaries. And he is happily married to his daughter, and that seems to be working out really well. It's really good. And, yeah.
That, I love that. Let me ask you, because I know we have some listeners listening. Of course, this is an entertainment show, so I have to ask this. You have a character on the Newsroom based off you. I know you've talked about this a million times, and you probably are tired of it. But can you explain to everybody the story behind that, and can you explain to everybody the situation?
I went on a few dates with Aaron Sorkin. I told him when I was out on a date with him, when he said, you know, what'd you do today? How was your day? And I said that I had to write a quote. This is when I worked at the New York Post. I said that I had to write a quote takedown piece. And he said, takedown piece? What is that? What do you mean, takedown piece? And I said, yeah, that's what the Post does. It does takedown pieces. That's its MO, is it just crucifies people, and then people have little schadenfreudgasms about, you know, how much better they are than all the celebrities who are having, like, the piss taken out of them. And I said, but I didn't really feel great about doing it, because I actually like Bethany Frankel, who was the person I was doing the takedown piece about, and she's helped me on stories, and I think she's funny. And he had the idea spark in his head that what if Jeff Daniels was out on a date with a Post reporter, and instead of her acting classily, he said, like I did, what if she then proceeded to kind of take him down bit by bit? And so that's the character that he wrote, played by Hope Davis, who is this, like, caricature of a kind of sexually predatory, evil tabloid reporter. So, and it was weird to watch and made me look at myself in a critical light. And I tried to write the article in a way that was just taking the piss out of myself and not out of him, because I have nothing but respect for him as a writer and as a person. And obviously, men like that don't like to be written about, so I tried to really just keep it to the facts of the character genesis. And I felt justified in doing it, because when I first approached him, I approached him to be a consultant for HBO, and he was interested in that. And then he said, let me know if you ever want to go on a date. And then we ended up dating more, and he never followed through on any of the HBO consultancy, which he had said he was going to do. And, you know, truth be told, he, you know, got a huge character from me and a huge storyline. And so I think at the very least, I'm allowed to own my personal experience and reveal that that happened to me. So that's my thought on that little episode in my life.
Well, let me tell you what I love about that. And we were just talking about this earlier. And, you know, I got a pilot in development right now. And I tell my listeners all the time, you know, what I respect about you and what we have in common is you don't really care about the political correct game in Hollywood or in New York or wherever it may be, where you're going to hold back from talking about something just because it may affect getting this job in the future or this connection or whatever. I really dig that about you.
Are you saying that I'm probably not going to get co-screenwriting credit on the new Steve Jobs biopic? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Because I'm going to respectfully disagree. I think that's going to happen. Don't take my dreams away from me. No, you know what? He's a fucking big boy. He knows exactly what he knows exactly. I mean, that's the allure of dating someone like me. It's the same reason you date someone who you think she might fucking stab you in the middle of the night. You know what I mean? Like, he gets exactly what's happening when you date a woman who has a Sex and the City-style dating column in the New York Post and has, you know, publicly filleted Andy Dick and, you know, is not really such a suck-up. I mean, I think he was attracted to that. But I still also don't think that I did any disservice to him. If I would have been a consultant like was originally discussed, then, you know, I would have been completely professional. But in my opinion, I at the very least could claim credit to the story that I didn't have any actual story credit, which would have been obviously a huge boon to my career to be a consultant on an HBO show. And also, I want to say that I do care about political correctness, and I do think all the time about, am I sabotaging a potential long-term relationship for a short-term game? And I'm not that kind of person. And also, if you ask anyone who knows me, you could ask Jessica, although I don't know what she would say, but a lot of people who know me, there are a lot of things I could tell, and I do not, and I always try to do things as kindly as possible, including with the Sorkin piece. You know, I mean, I was in no way calling him, you know, anything other than, you know, the perfectly screenwriter he is.
You weren't alluding that he was disingenuous, is what you're saying.
What'd you say?
You were not alluding that he was disingenuous, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, I think he's Aaron Sorkin. I think you can't expect Aaron Sorkin to be anyone other than Aaron Sorkin, and you can't expect Mandy Stattmiller to be anyone other than Mandy Stattmiller. You know what I mean? And that might be good, and that might be bad in certain ways, you know, but it is what it is. You know what I mean? And
do you feel like professionally you've burned any bridges?
Not with him.
I mean, in general.
I guess I would just say that everyone respects and likes me and wants me to work for them because I'm the best at what I do. And no, I'm just kidding.
No, keep it up, Mandy. It's your birthday.
And it's my birthday, and I'm the prettiest girl in New York City. Yeah. And no one has a better body than me. And let me think. Have I burned professional bridges? Yeah, but you know what it comes down to is the people who are major leagues recognize that bridges are never really fully burned. You know what I mean? People who are petty, clawy, little resentful grudge holders are usually pretty fucking bush league. I mean, like, I wrote a story about how I almost took a job working for Ashley Madison for Noel Biederman, who's this Canadian multimillionaire who runs all of these kind of adult alternative lifestyle websites. And, you know, I called him shady in the article. I, you know, completely, you know, talked about it in a very honest way and said I was so glad that the book that I wrote with him didn't sell because that was when I was at my most, I feel like, nihilistic and morally corrupt. And if he was a, precious, little seeking to be victimized, hold a grudge, you know, bush leaguer, he would have been pissed by that. But instead he was like, oh, like, you know, the articles you're doing are tremendous. I still hope we can work together someday. And we did an episode of HuffPost Live together. And, you know, it was just like a great dynamic and banter. It's like, I don't know, people who play with I mean, I'm not comparing myself to him, but, like, it's just, I feel like a similar sensibility. Like Howard Stern, when you go on Howard Stern, you don't expect, like, a fucking, like, you know, puff piece, like, ego blowjob. You expect, like, real talk and real honesty.
Well, that's what we try to do here. I like that about Howard. I appreciate that.
Always.
I just have no filter. That's my problem. I probably should shut my mouth a little more than I do, but it's hard. It's hard when you feel something. Sometimes it just comes out. And let me ask you this. You say, I know you talk about funny is your crack.
Yeah, and actually I think you should because I have Jessica here who's kind of a famous comic, I think you should ask her something about funny being my crack or about her. She's shaking her head no. And I'm eating a nacho, so I'm going to hand the phone to her. Okay.
Birthday nacho.
Jessica's coming on. Great.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Hello.
I'm doing okay. I'm celebrating Mandy's birthday with her.
That's fantastic. Can I?
Long Island City, which, by the way, is like the best place to celebrate your birthday ever.
Right.
That's great.
I really strongly suggest.
Dave Chappelle told Jessica at a show Dave Chappelle came up to her
and said,
I'm going to say it the good way, the way I tweeted it, and said, you're as funny as Sarah Silverman. That's what Chappelle said, just so you know who you're dealing with. That's,
but you're also hotter. You're also hotter than Sarah Silverman. So congratulations.
Oh,
absolutely.
Are you guys Googling
that's
me?
Compliment. No, it's true. You're hotter than Sarah Silverman.
She,
what?
She is hotter than Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, I don't even think that's like a. I don't.
Sarah Silverman's like a solid 11.
An 11? What? Does your scale go up to 100?
I am totally straight, and I would do a lot of stuff with Sarah Silverman. In a polite way.
Well,
like, whatever she wanted. I would do whatever she wanted. I'd ask her. I'd be like, what do you want me to do?
I agree with you.
I'd probably join you guys. I'm not going to say I wouldn't, but yes. Okay.
Wouldn't join? That's what I want to know.
Let me ask you this question, since you're friends with Mandy, and Mandy says comedy is her crack. Do you and Mandy date comedians? Is that something that
Listen. If any people are listening to this right now, I know that a lot of comedians might get mad at me for saying this, but I just really strongly encourage people to not date comedians. don't do that. Are you guys comedians?
No, never.
I'm not a comedian.
Great people. I mean, have them over to your house.
I'm a stand-up comic. I get it. I haven't done it since I did start the show because the show's gone
well. You can take the stand-up out of, the personality of a comedian. Like, they do stand-up, but that's where the stand-up aspect of their personalities end. They are usually sex addicts, like people with serious mental issues, people who are, very observant, boundaryless. Traumatized.
Stop describing me, bitch.
but awesome, smart, funny, weird.
Right. Hey. You know what's funny about that? At the same time, Mandy was telling you to stop describing her. My guys here are looking at me like I'm fucking what you're describing. Thanks a lot.
I don't know what you're talking about, Maddie.
That's great.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Living here in Chicago, you know a lot of improvisers, comedians, and I'm shaking my head going, yes.
Oh, that's what you meant. Yes. Thank you, Charles. Oh. Thank you.
Yeah, but comedians are nice. I don't think that they make good mates. And I encourage people not to reproduce with them if you can help it. Just adopt.
Glad I don't want to have kids.
Good
Thanks,
job,
Jessica.
Maddie. Good job.
Yeah, I'm out of the kids market anyway. That's fine. I don't think my sperm will work anyways.
Good.
I think it'll be all right.
I'm on the steroids. I don't think it's going
to
work.
No, the steroids. You're shooting with some power right now.
Am I?
Oh yeah.
Oh. Good.
Congratulations. It sounds
Thank
great.
You. Thank you.
Sounds like you've got some really awesome sperm.
I'm on all the good drugs right now. I'm on steroid cream. I'm on
Cialis.
I'm only 20.
You masturbate with the steroid cream? I bet that's really fun.
All right, between you and I.
Sorry.
Oh, you on the phone.
I'm
going to
give you back Mandy because I'm having birthday dinner with her, and it's Mandy night. It's not Jessica Delfino night.
That's true. It isn't Jessica Delfino
Jessica,
night.
Jessica, just out of curiosity, are you Italian by chance?
I am.
God bless.
Good guess.
Tell him to look at here. I can say it so you don't have to promote yourself. Google Jessica Delfino and Exo Jane, and you'll see the story that I did. And I include the YouTube link of her very, very funny, laugh out loud funny, actually, which I rarely say, video, which is called, I'm going to have her say the name of it because I'm going to bungle it. What's the name of it?
It's called I'm Italian, I'll Pay You for Sex and Food.
Yeah. Oh, I like this. Maddie and the Italians. We get along. And Chucky, too.
Yeah, thanks for including me.
The Italians are okay. All
right. Mandy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm drinking my virgin pina colada, which is delicious.
I'm 11 months sober. Good for you. Virgin pina colada. I'm happy to hear that.
Thanks. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
I actually meant
that to be like really funny and dark, like when the evil chick on Girls says it to the guys who are clearly going to a meeting, but it came out like 110% earnest when I said it right there. I can't believe they fucking bungled that.
You sound like someone at the West Hollywood meetings right there. You did.
Excellent.
Let me ask you that. You're sober, huh?
Yeah, I'm 2 years and 2 years and.
Anything else?
Mm-mm, I'm full. 2 years and something something.
Yeah, 2 years
and 3 months. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say from one AA person to another, which is no longer anonymous. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's okay if you out your own anonymity. Can't tell you all of the cool celebs that I see at the meeting.
Me too. Oh,
not good.
Right? Oh, we. Oh.
I know, it's so fun. It's like why get a map of the stars? Just go to fucking meetings, you know?
Mandy, we're getting everyone fixed at home wet, and we can't even follow through. We're teasing them here, so.
Yeah.
They want to hear all the great celebs at the meeting.
Yeah, I can't do
so, that. Anyways, let me ask you this. Can men and women be friends?
Yeah, of course they can be.
Are you
high or retarded? Like, yeah, absolutely. Or are you just like, did you just watch When Harry Met Sally for the first time last night? And you're like working on new material?
I think so.
I mean, I don't know. I get really bored by like fucking manufactured controversy topics like that. I went on HuffPost Live and it was like, a new study comes out showing women are cheating more than men. And like, it's just...
Oh.
I don't know. It's just like, sorry, that's a big garbage truck going by.
There's a douche.
I don't know. It just seems to me like people talk about those kinds of manufactured controversy questions because they don't because that's a politically correct, socially acceptable way to talk about awkward topics like sex and race and things like that, and like. I would rather talk about, like, you know, if someone wants to, you know, what's something that would be a real thing? Like,
can guys and girls be friends but in actual conversation, not because you read about it in a magazine? Like, because you genuinely want
to? Well, no, like, I would rather hear about,
like... Do you think I should be friends with this guy who just totally fucked me over?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, I would rather deal in specifics rather than in general. You know what it is also is just that like it makes me die inside whenever anything seems kind of like hacky and false, and I'm coming across as like the biggest, most castrating bitch, like
shitting on your
totally sweet innocuous question. So I'm gonna write you a fucking apology note tomorrow.
No, listen, Mandy. I just want your honest opinion on. And by the way, I got your honest opinion now on generalized topics. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, I
actually have to get wrapping up because Jessica and I are gonna go have lesbian sex. So.
Oh, are you really? Mandy,
yeah, like really hot, like dildos everywhere in every fucking orifice.
In public.
Have you ever seen the sex move called the Chewbacca? Or I think it's called the retarded Chewbacca. It's when you put a dick in the air. So you should try that tonight.
I'll try it out. Mandy, would you...
Like, women love that. Women love that. If you could take anything away from this conversation, it's put your cock in a woman's ear and just, like, jab it around in there. Just, like, teasing.
When I was in fourth grade...
My dick has a secret.
Broad. You can't get in a word with them. You can't get in a word to broad.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding, Mandy. But when I was in fourth grade, a girl told me a blowjob was when she blew into my ear to kind of be...
Oh, that's sweet. That's adorable. Did you marry her?
Well, no, I didn't marry her. Would you mind continuing this conversation maybe next week?
Yeah, sure. That'd be fine.
All right, I'm going to call you next week because I want to continue this. I have specifics for you next week. I'm not going to come with anything generalized.
Specifics.
Okay, good. I respect that.
Okay, you have fun on your birthday evening. We'll call you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Mandy.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
She's a doll.
She's great.
We got to come with some specifics now.
Oh, I think you have plenty.
Yeah, I got a specific.
Yeah, I do. I could have kept going for like another 2 hours.
Yeah, you could have. Although I got to say, you know, yes, there are a couple of questions, like the first one, mm-hmm. and
the second one, and then the third one.
No, but what I'm saying is
he's talking about the one about doing things for broads and not getting anything in return.
I mean, she just right up on top of that.
Well, that was a specific.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we did talk about this outside. It is a little bit of a generalization to say men and women can't be friends, but.
And she said absolutely, so.
Listen. Yeah, I think that's a broad answer.
But but here's the thing, though. You got to drive into the specifics of it. Like, can a man and woman be friends if the man wants to be with the woman? You know what I mean?
Right.
Will that work out? Or no. I think both, like I said, I think both parties have to be at the common understanding. Like me and my friend Barb, we have no sexual interest in each other, but we're great friends. So I think that's why it works.
I was talking to Jacob Aranestis a little during the interview with Mandy.
Oh, cool.
And this is one thing. Even when I'm being, who farted?
I know it was a burp this time.
Oh, Jesus, Charles, you're a fucking gas factory.
I am today.
Just keep going. I don't know where we should mine for natural gas.
Charles Salvatore. Yeah, go ahead and call Matt Damon.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let's frack Charles. okay. Let's see here. Yes, Jacob Aranestis and I. And of course, Jacob was on last week. His film, The Details,
good,
is on video on demand right now. Comes out November 2nd in the theaters. I made a comment last week about how Elizabeth Banks sucks. I don't know if I said sucks. That may be an over-exaggeration.
You might have.
Okay, I saw The Details. She was good in it. She was good in Zach and Miri. She does not suck. Some of the films she chooses to do.
She seems like the kind of like,
and I know you don't want to see it, but she was good in Hunger Games.
Never seen it.
It was good.
I wanted to ask Jacob Aranestis this, and I forgot. But I feel like she'd be the kind of girl that'd be cool to like go hang out at the bar with.
And by bar, you mean then go home with and have sex?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I'd be willing to go that.
Oh, you mean you're not just gonna be friends with Miss Elizabeth Banks?
I'm saying I would do that, but I'm saying just like Mandy. Mandy's another girl. Yeah, I obviously
don't say for one second you wouldn't fuck Mandy.
Oh no, I would definitely fuck Mandy, but that's not what I'm saying. Is she's the kind of girl that you could have an intelligent conversation with, and she'd be fun to hang out with.
I have a feeling if I made a list of 100 women, I don't give a shit what Mandy says. If I made a list of 100 women and asked you and Charles if you'd just be friends with them or fuck them, it'd probably be like 99.
Yeah, but
well, but I mean, that makes no sense, man. Of course
Why?
It would be like that.
Why?
Because you could pick like 100 like gorgeous women, and of course we're going to say yes.
Marissa Tomei, friends or fuck?
Oh, fuck, obviously. I don't know her personally.
But what I'm saying is, but you have to understand, there's a difference between becoming emotionally attached to a girl or just wanting to fuck them. There's a difference.
Yeah, that's true.
And you don't know these
like a girl
people.
Walks down the street and I go, wow, she's hot. I would have sex with that girl. But I'm saying something like Mandy, okay. She's
it
seems
nice
intelligent
Mandy
enough.
Came on her birthday,
yeah, it
by
is.
The way.
That's great.
Especially when she was out eating with
her. I don't know. I'm shocked she gave us a half hour for her birthday. I didn't know it was her birthday.
Good question.
Yeah.
Does anybody want nachos now?
No.
Yeah. And a virgin pina colada.
Oh, how about that restaurant the other night? Extra virgin drinks?
Oh, yeah. What was that
about? I don't know.
Yeah, Giuliano made an interesting comment about it. He pointed out. He goes, what's with this extra? What's an extra virgin?
They cut out the sugar.
No, calm down.
I'm making it up.
Not at this restaurant we went to. There was nothing healthy on this menu.
And I thought it was a decent place.
Mm-hmm. You got bad service, but it was good food.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she got upset with the sweethearts.
Either the sweethearts or when you said not all women are smart. I don't know.
You think that could have been
it? I don't know which one it was.
By the way, but Mandy's very intelligent. That's not bringing her into this.
Okay, so you found one woman who has a brain.
No,
congratulations.
There's more than one. I said women. I go. Not all of them. I go. Well, they're just not all smart in all the areas. Like it's just like they're just.
Listen, whether Mandy wants to or not, I'm going to twist her arm and I'm going to her for all my love advice from now on.
Oh yeah.
And if she wants to do it pre or post coital, I'm fine with that as well.
No. Well.
Charles
hey,
is like, what's coital?
You know what, Matt? We'll just have to.
Yeah, I'm not an old Jewish.
Is that a Jewish food? Coital?
dreidel. What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Song from South Park?
I was making inoffensive Jewish. Then you turned it into.
Dreidel.
Bigot dreidel jokes.
What? I'm an asshole.
Terrible human being.
Can I not talk about gefilte fish then?
No, you can filter the fish. It's disgusting. Though.
It's really not that good.
It's like jellyfish. It's just, I mean, not the jellyfish. I'm talking
I
like
thought the fish was pickled herring.
No, it's like a jellied fish. Yeah, it's like real soft and gooey and.
It's not that, no.
Oh yeah, there. Adam nailed it. Oh. Like fish in a jar.
No. That sounds disgusting.
By the way, go to xojane.com to read Mandy's columns, especially one on Jessica Delfino. Jessica Delfino is actually a really big comedian, so that's
check her up.
Interesting.
That's a pretty good compliment of Dave Chappelle telling you you're funnier than Sarah Silverman.
Now, did Dave Chappelle fuck her?
No.
No, probably not.
Why?
Well, yeah, Sarah Silverman is funny.
She is.
I still do Sarah Silverman.
Oh, I would totally do Sarah Silverman.
I don't know. She's done Kimmel,
yeah, but Adam,
and
I
love
have
Jimmy Kimmel, but I don't
fetish.
Know if I want to go there.
I don't know. Yeah. About
I don't know if I want to go there post-Kimmel.
You know what I love, though?
Post-Kimmel, I don't care. I do Sarah Silverman.
When we were talking about Delfino, we're like, oh, but I had to ask her if she was Italian. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're all Italian here. She's like, Mandy, these guys are okay.
Yeah, that was
she's getting off
funny.
The phone.
Can I make a comment about someone I'm friends with on Facebook who's in business who I cannot... I'm going to hide him at some point. And he has a huge fan club, and everyone talks to him all the time. My buddy Rod Lurie.
Yeah.
Oh, he drives me nuts. His latest post was, how can anybody in their right mind be on Team Jacob? Now, I'm sure that's funny. A year ago. Yeah,
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Wait. Why?
And
man,
here's what annoys me. Rod's going to get 50 comments going, you're so funny. It's like Lenny. Where you almost want to hide Lenny at some point, Lenny Kanata, because he has like 60 people blowing him over, I ate a hot dog.
Have you ever made a comment on somebody's post, and then a half hour later, after you've gotten dinged like 7 times because somebody else commented on the same post, you delete your comment because you're just so sick
of being
bothered?
Dinged anymore.
Oh, God.
I'm sure people do that to us when we gossip all the time on our comments, and some random comes in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and by the way, I love Rod. I love Rod. I think he's smart. I think he's intelligent. I love his movies. But, man, Rod's fan club is what really gets on my nerves. It's the fan club more than Rod.
I think that's one of the problems I have with Kevin Smith.
Right. It makes people like Rod and Kevin Smith and Lenny basically be able to post what – I can't believe I put Lenny in that category.
Yeah, don't do that.
But basically, guys
talented
like
– people and Lenny?
I know, right? Guys like them can post whatever the fuck they want, and, like, you get 100 people going, you're the greatest. I hate it.
You know what it is, Manny? It's the difference between having friends and followers.
I will give Rod this. He does post a lot of things with substance. This is a one-time thing with this
Team Jacob.
And by the, yeah, 2 years ago, Rod.
Well, there's a new one coming out.
The last one, thankfully.
Oh, my God. I saw the first one. I was on a date. I saw the first Twilight. I don't even think she liked it.
Is that when you knew your shoe might be the one?
Yeah, that's a keeper.
Yeah.
No, because her and I have been like friends and then dating and then friends and then dating and back to being friends. So we always had a ton of things in common. But it was no good.
Did you have sex with her?
Yeah. Back to friends, though.
Never seen the Twilight. Never seen the Harry Potter.
See, it could go back and forth. But is this one crazy?
They're all crazy.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, like, really crazy.
No, that's why we were allowed to be friends. You can't be friends with a crazy broad either. It's difficult.
It could be very entertaining at times.
Let me tell you why.
It could be very entertaining.
I'll give you a situation. I'll just make one up off the top of my head. Why would you want to be friends with a crazy broad? Friends with them. When one of the traits of crazy broads is all they do is talk about themselves.
Yeah, it's a pretty one-way conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
It can get very annoying after a while with the text messages and the phone calls.
Shut up. I'm sure that happens. Yeah,
I'm sure. That's a very good example.
It's an example.
Yeah, I'd say there's women out there like that.
Yeah. I love how on this show we boast about how honest we are. And then when we're talking about women who none of our audience would have ever heard of ever because they're like normal people, we like lie.
Well, I mean, we're just
and we're like, oh, let me make up something for you here. we're so full of shit. Or well, as I told Chucky, he's full of cocks. But yes.
Ah.
So what else is going on in the world today? Since,
no.
We didn't have Mandy for an hour.
Well, I just want to retweet. I guess we could say two things here.
Oh yes, what did you learn from your interview?
You're gonna retweet.
But what are the two things you wanted to retweet?
Dicks in the ear.
Dicks in the ear.
Apparently, you get the girl on her knees, and instead of going in her mouth, put it in her ear, and take her fingertips and give her a good tickle on the thigh.
I gotta ask her next week because I'm gonna call her again next week. I don't care if I have Spielberg on the show.
Yeah, we're calling her.
I'm gonna ask her next week about the fingering the vagina the right way.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I wanted to add,
she says you have to know how to do it.
There's more than one way to do it.
There is.
Yes, and Charles has tried them all, I'm sure.
Well, I think one thing that...
I'm sure there's one or two I have.
I think that one thing may be true is that it's not always about just getting inside the vagina. There's other things to be doing. Okay?
Yeah.
You can get a girl off by not actually penetrating the vagina.
Well, that's what Mandy's saying.
You know what I mean?
That's what Mandy's going to say, I'm sure. She's
going
to be like, massage the tip and lightly touch the sides.
Why does Mandy sound like Julia Child?
Yeah,
did you watch Julia
today?
Because when I think of sex, I think of Julia Child. I don't know what to tell you.
You are fucked up.
Yeah, especially if you're going to Julia Child.
I think about Julia Child, beef bourguignon or something like that.
And a dash of booby right there. Play with the nipples. Caesar would like us all to know we don't have to use all 2 hours of our time if we don't want to.
Anyway, so
our audience demands it.
No, I think the other thing that Mandy was getting to with the thigh rubbing and everything else is, again, it's for women, I think sex is a little bit more mental and sensual than it is just about, you know, hardcore, fuck you, me. You know, that
it's more than just stimulating and, yes, the clapping.
I will give her this. All she did was get her leg rubbed and the guy got a blowjob. That's a trooper. That's a real
one.
Well,
woman. Yeah, but
that's
the point is she got
girl.
Off.
I know, but some women, I don't know. They get fucked or they get, you know, you're always doing things for women. And sometimes you get nothing in return. Nothing.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. Maybe a hug at the end of the night. Maybe. Some of us don't even get that.
Maybe
I'm sure.
Tug it a little.
I'm sure that's what some of us say when we're trying to get some after we've done things for them, and the dick just sits there going, are you going to
tug?
Well,
it's not sitting. It's standing.
Tug? Are you going to tug?
It's standing.
I don't know why my dick's Jewish, but
you know,
are you going to tug?
I got to
give it
a
old tug.
I was in this situation before, and you know what I did? I was just kind of got this whole mindset, well, fuck it, I'm ready to go. So if you're not helping me, I'm just going to do it myself.
Oh, in front of the bride?
Yeah,
that happens all the time.
Yeah, and they were like, what?
Well,
like,
maybe just for me that happens.
And I just look over, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, you obviously, this is not working for you, so I'm just going to do it myself. Just give me a minute, go outside, have a cigarette or something.
I learned this from a woman once. Sometimes it's smart to do that. Because it encourages them, you can either watch or you can help.
And sometimes they decide to start helping.
And sometimes,
so,
yeah, it gets
there
so
and
uncomfortable
grab some
that
popcorn.
They're just like, all right.
Yeah, sit there and grab some popcorn or this corn, you know?
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, it's like my buddy's dad told us when we were 14, 15 years old. He goes, boys, I just want you to learn one thing while you're in high school. When in doubt, whip it out.
It's a little rapey, but, you know.
I don't think a board meeting is the right time.
Yeah, like Charles and his lady friend at work.
Oh, yeah. The one that gets
we're
around.
We're just friends.
Thanks, Julia.
What's that all about? We're just
friends. Why is it so difficult for a guy and a girl to be too? Why do I sound like Kurt Angle? Why can't a guy and a girl be just friends?
Because here's what happens for me. Okay, maybe I shouldn't
generalize. Maybe Maddie's just a man whore and wants to have sex with every girl he's friends with.
I think man whore is such an unfair word to use. I think I'm more of a community activist. And in the community, your friends, and then you're both horny, you help each other out. I look at it as more of a community thing.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. I'm starting to see things more your way.
Not really man whorey. It's I'm doing you a favor, you're doing me a favor.
But when they don't return the favor.
Well, yeah. Hasn't happened to me in a while, but I don't I would not cavort with women who do not return the favor. There would be no cavorting.
No cavorting.
She's a cool chick. We hang out all the time. Like
he's still on it.
Like I don't see what the big deal is.
Cause anyway, you won't fuck her because she's loose.
No, that's not the only reason why I want to.
That's the only reason. Well, what are the other reasons? I'm kind of curious.
No, Adam, she does not have AIDS.
Not everyone Chucky dates AIDS.
No one Chucky dates AIDS.
How about that scene in the movie? Like, this is like being at the VD clinic.
Yeah.
And you have
the seventh psychopath.
Yes.
Hey, well, quick question. Who wrote that movie? Who was the...
I don't know.
Because whoever did the script, I got to give him credit.
That's a good script.
Yeah. Rocko was great.
That's a good script. Oh, here's a funny Facebook post. Donald Trump has jumped the shark.
Kind of.
you don't know the jump the shark first, Mikey?
No.
Really?
No.
I'm about to jump the
shark. So back in the day when Happy Days was on the air, they had an episode where they basically, the thing is they had nothing else to do. So they had Fozzie in his leather, or Fonzie. Fozzie, waka waka. Fonzie in his leather jacket,
Surfing.
No, he wasn't surfing.
He was
going to
jump a shark.
He was water skiing. Yeah,
water
and he
skiing.
Jumped over a shark. So now the phrase is that when TV shows hit a point where they just go downhill or they try to do something different and special and it ends up working against them, it's jumping the shark.
So Fonzie didn't, and that ended up well for Fonzie?
No, he was fine after. But after that point, they say Happy Days just got really ridiculous and really stupid. If you go to jumptheshark.com, you can actually vote on like when they think TV shows jump the shark.
Okay.
Like an example, I'm trying to think like...
Maybe The Sopranos in like season 4 at some point?
I think a lot of people say the point where Sopranos jumped the shark is when they had the whole gay thing with Vito.
I can see that.
Or I think, like, for Friends, I think it was when they had Ross and Rachel hook up for the 10th time. Or when they decided to have Monica and Chandler hook up. Like, it just gets to a point where it's too ridiculous. Matt's looking at me like, why do you know Friends stuff?
Oh, I know you used to watch Friends.
I loved Friends.
Never
I
watched
know
it.
You did. He loved Friends. He loved it. I did. It's good. He secretly loved Will and Grace. No, I never watched Will and Grace.
I did. I liked did. Will and Grace. I think it's
you know what I always kind of had a crush on in Will and Grace?
Karen. Megan Mullally. It was Megan Mullally. The drunk.
Is that the one that had like, the funny voice?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's kind of hot.
Was
right?
I right?
No, yeah, you're right.
I know.
Yeah, you're right. She's married to that guy on Parks and Recs. Ron Swanson.
She just seems like a cool broad. I don't know.
I don't watch Parks and Recs. By the way, the ratings on Thursday night, I know we've talked about this on the show before, and the reason we keep bringing it up is they're getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
I know Bruce says it's terrible, but I kind of like go on.
Who?
With Matthew Perry, his new show.
Goon.
Yeah, Goon.
I don't watch anything on NBC outside of Law and Order.
Nothing
on NBC.
I don't watch much TV at all.
Oh, maybe Chicago Fire I just started watching.
I watched the first episode. I DVR'd the last two. I haven't gotten around to watching.
Yeah, me too.
First episode was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
It was better than what I thought it was going to be. It's no Rescue Me, but it was still better than what I thought it was going to be. I hope that show does good.
You know what I wanted to bring up, too? I was just talking to my buddy... I'm not going to name any names, but you remember Alan Spencer was on Bullet in the Face, speaking of Kate Kelton?
Yeah.
You know, IFC, like, buried the success of that show.
What?
Because it wasn't into the theme of what they're trying to do with the network. It was the highest rated show they've done in years, maybe ever.
So why'd they kill it?
Well, they didn't. They did kill it. But two, they did not put out any press releases about the ratings. Nothing. Buried it. They don't want anyone to know how successful it was.
I wonder why.
Well, their new stuff's in the tank, and they're going to learn a lesson from this. And the way they're going to learn a lesson from this is when the network goes out of business, which at some point it will. I'll still be around because I'm going to outlive that network for sure.
Yes.
And I'm going to remind people year in and year out that if they went with more stuff by Alan Spencer or done like Bullet in the Face, maybe they would have survived.
I mean, drop the Portlandia stuff.
Well, Portlandia is a huge hit for them. That's what's keeping them alive. Yeah, Don Margaret was no good in it. Bunk is, first of all, you name your show Bunk. I know you're asking for me to call it Bunk. It is. And I know you think that's somehow ironically funny. It's not. Your show blows. Bunk is the worst fucking thing on the air. Next to, nothing. Next to nothing. Bunk is the worst fucking show ever put on celluloid.
So apparently I'm not that upset I haven't seen this Bunk before.
No, you shouldn't be. It's basically three comedians you've never heard of on the planet playing a game show with another comedian you've never heard of on the planet, and it's fucking terrible.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. Do you mind if I change the subject here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think, with the quality programming that AMC has put out, two questions. One, when did AMC start really doing TV shows of quality? And I want to say Mad Men was really the first.
I think it was.
And two, do you think if with the kind of programming, whether it be Mad Men or Breaking Bad, because I feel like AMC has really picked up and done almost HBO-style shows on cable network. Do you think if they were on an HBO or a Showtime where they had the freedom and ability to just to be a little more free creatively because they didn't have the restrictions of the network, do you think they'd be an even better show?
That's true.
I think Mad Men would probably have more nudity. Yeah, probably more violence towards women. I think Breaking Bad, probably they would do more of the drug stuff. I think probably they are limited in what they can show of people using drugs. So I think they would show more of that stuff on like an HBO or Showtime. Mm-hmm. And I never really dead on AMC, Walking Dead. I've never watched that show, so I imagine they could probably get more gory and violent and also have nudity as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes I wonder how much the writers and creators are being held back because of certain rules and regulations.
But it's now gotten to the point where the best TV is definitely on cable. It's not even a conversation anymore. The best TV is on cable.
Yeah, hands down. Well, unless you're Bunk.
Right. There's always a few exceptions.
But Honey Boo Boo. What kind of name for a show is Bunk anyhow?
People that think they're funny when they're not funny.
I don't know anybody like
I'm
that.
I'm surprised they haven't asked me to be on that show yet. There's so many fucking no-name losers on that fucking show.
We talked your Z-list.
I'm like Z-list. I'm at if there's all no-name losers on that show, I at least have to be at the top of the no-name loser list.
And like, that's something to be proud of.
Right. I have to at least be at the top of that list. Like, maybe breaking through.
I tell people, that's how I feel every day. If I might be retarded, but God damn it, I'm the smartest retard.
Oh, good thing we have a lot of retarded people to listen to the show.
and the retarded Chewbacca's.
The dick in the ear. Oh, this is definitely not Katie Rose Cronin's favorite show.
I'm just going through the show. Apparently, if you put your dick in a girl's ear, it makes her like talk like Chewbacca. Was that the idea behind it? I don't know.
Oh, because it's like putting your dick in Chewbacca because he's so like, hairy. She's talking about the hair over the ear, I think.
Yeah, I think she was just trying to be funny.
And how tiny Chewbacca's asshole is covered by all the hair. Right?
So anyway, right?
Tiny Chewbacca's asshole.
I've always personally wanted to try the salty pirate.
You know, that's an interesting question. How big do you think Chewbacca's asshole is? You don't really see it in that movie.
I don't know if this is a conversation.
Hold on.
You think Mandy's sitting there going, I wonder if they're still talking about if they actually think putting a dick in a girl's ear is a good idea.
Oh, no, she's thinking if we have three hookers over here on the show live doing it.
Yeah, let me put my ear. How does this make you feel? Is it good? Yeah. Good? No? No.
The other one's like, they're Italian. They're getting hookers.
He's not moaning like Chewbacca. I don't get this.
Man, she really put down dating me. Totally threw that out.
Oh,
Delfino.
Oh, yeah.
Sex addict?
You know what, though?
I'd say the same thing about broad comedians. They're all fucked up, too.
Of course they are. Anybody who's got that much... Here, I've realized something. Anybody who can talk that much is just that fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
About themselves?
Whoa, relax, relax. I'm just, well, actually, I guess a comedian is kind of doing a diatribe of themselves, aren't they?
What's the score of the Giants game, you think?
I'm going to guess. Hold on.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Why are you fingering me, Shawnee?
Are you going to check right now? Are you checking?
Yeah, I'm checking. Right. I honestly didn't know. And Sean's like giving me the finger, which is not good. It's 7-1 Giants.
Oh!
You really were giving me the finger. I didn't know, buddy. I was hoping it would be 5-1 Detroit, and I was going to be like, Shawnee, good news!
You know, this is the first time in a long time I just don't care who wins.
Oh, you don't know nothing about nothing. This is the most exciting World Series.
Oh no, I'll watch it, but I'm not rooting for either team. I don't care who wins. I'm still gonna watch it.
Oh, okay. Who don't want to root for anybody? You don't like anybody. You have no horse in the race.
No, what am I gonna root for the Tigers just because I hate the White Sox? Not really. You know, it's, now that I mean, if the Cardinals would have won, I definitely would have been pulling for Detroit because I hate St. Louis. But, you know, it's just like I don't have anything against either team. I just want a good World Series, exciting game. Like, as much as I hate to say it, last year's World Series with St. Louis winning was awesome. Just the last game and the rain and the home runs, everything was great.
I'm sorry. I just went to the Huffington Post, and I'm always reminded every time I sign to the Huffington Post about how Mikey read that article once from Gay Voices.
What article?
What's the one he read from Gay Voices?
I don't remember.
This is from the Gay Voices.
Oh, is that the way? Oh, yeah, that was our off-site contributor that gave that to us.
Right, but I don't remember which one it was. But I.
Oh, I yeah, I don't
either. It actually happened. Mikey read an article from Gay Voices. You can never expect that again, by the way.
No,
he didn't really like Harvey Firestein.
Hey there, Adam.
I'd much rather hear Mikey talk like Harvey Firestein than like that.
I always think it's like Feinstein for some reason. I don't know.
Brazilian girl sold her virginity for $780,000. She is going to get raped.
So that just
maybe
like
murdered.
Is that just like the over? That is the most overpaid prostitute.
I watched a movie starring Kevin Klein a few days ago called Trade, and it's about sex trade through Mexico to America, and they showed these girls being sold on the internet, underage, obviously, being sold on the internet to pedophiles for like $50,000 for a one-time hookup, and then you technically own them or whatever. But here's the fear I have with this. Who is going to make sure this girl's safe? Because only a sick fucking twisted pervert's paying close to $1 million to fuck you.
Well, and let's be honest.
Am I wrong?
For $788,000, I'm not just getting round one. I'm getting round like,
well, that's
two,
my point.
Three.
Even if you're not a pervert, you're still going in there with the assumption of, listen, most men last 7 minutes. He is paying $100,000 a minute.
Yeah, that's
And that's if he's fat. If you're in good shape, you last a minute and a half.
No, it's the other way around.
No. If you're fat, you last 7 minutes.
Right.
If you're in good shape, you last like a minute and a half. I'm saying if he's in good shape, he's paying almost $1 million for a minute.
That's just too much.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Alleged. And by the way, I have no proof for this, but I'm just saying. Who's going to make sure this girl, because obviously there's going to be some weird dude sitting in the room like looking like who is a big bodyguard type, like Tiny Lister, ain't going to be sitting in the room going, oh, man, you got 7 minutes, go. It's not going to happen.
No.
So who's protecting this broad from maybe the biggest possible creep ever who just bought her for $780,000?
Did he buy her or just the ability to have sex with her?
The ability to have sex with her. But what do you think a guy who pays $780,000 is thinking he bought? She's cute.
She's totally
done for.
Her, I'm going to see the
She is getting on. Raped and murdered.
How old is she?
She did it. She was up for it.
Matt, how old is she?
20. Okay. Wouldn't you be concerned if you're her parents or whatever? No, she's Brazilian.
I know, but she's
probably. Oh. Katerina Migliorini sells virginity for $780,000. Male virgin gets $3,000.
Yeah, that's a little different.
I got to tell you something. I have a feeling this is going to come out that this is sex trading going on. and that we all think this is like legitimate news, and we're like, what an interesting story. And then 3 weeks from now, we're going to find out this picture was taken by two Mexican perverts who are selling her on the market. And we just, and they're like, yeah, it's,
how big?
It's a news story.
How big is her ego going to be? Let's just assume.
If she lives,
she's not being forced to do this.
No. Let's just assume that.
We're going into overtime, right, by the way, but continue.
Let's just assume that this goes as planned. He fucks her. Job's done. She gets her $780,000 and leaves.
There were six bidders, by the way.
Okay, but my point is that how's this going to go for the next guy?
I don't know.
Like, oh, $500,000. The last gay gave me $750,000.
I don't know. And I agree with
you. I'm not even thinking that. I'm like, oh, movies and steak. Last guy.
I'm sorry. There's something very deranged about this.
Yes.
This is not ordering a hooker. This is weird. And I'm smelling.
I mean, she's gorgeous, by
the
way.
I'm smelling a fish with this fucking thing. I really am.
Figuratively and creatively speaking.
we make jokes about rapes waiting to happen. Ah, yes. I watched this fucking movie, Trade. Maybe I watched this fucking movie and I'm all creeped out by it. But
send Liam.
Hold on. Can you just picture there? Yes, send Liam.
No one's paying $780,000 to fuck a virgin unless they're a huge fucking pervert. Huge fucking pervert.
Or just a loser who can't get any.
Right. Well, that was always the problem with that one movie with Robert Redford and Demi Moore and Woody Harrelson. What was it? Where he pays her $1 million, a decent proposal.
Yeah.
One, Robert Redford don't have to pay anybody $1 million to fuck him. Two, it's kind of creepy, bro.
I think of it.
Three, why is Demi Moore with Woody Harrelson?
Hold on.
Because Demi Moore's lucky.
I think if a guy paid $1 million to have sex with you, in that the concept of that movie though, I think it's more of a power trip on the guy's end is just to have sex with a girl.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. I guess. I don't know. I just think it's fucking creepy. $780,000.
No, it's very creepy, Maddie. She's a gorgeous girl. She's
by some
guy,
by the way, who just gave a screen name, no last name, nothing, just a fucking.
I like how they
screen
hold
name.
On. I like how they included the whole. Oh, and by the way, male gets $3,000.
Kidnapping leaves man with severed penis to die in desert. Do you want to hear? Yeah, we do. Let's find out what this is all about. I love a good severed penis story. Kyle Handley arrested after kidnapping left man with severed penis to die in the Mojave Desert. Well, if you're going to leave someone to die, it's in the Mojave Desert. Hoosiers, it's been almost a month since two people were abducted from their California home, and one of them was burned, doused with bleach, and had his penis partially severed. Today, investigators are still looking for clues. An unidentified 29-year-old man, Leonard Cannata, and 53-year-old woman were kidnapped from... I'm just kidding about Leonard Cannata. He was not... His penis is not severed. He's not doused in bleach. I don't think he's doused in bleach. He could be. I don't know what he's into.
Probably fake tanner.
Aju.
When he go gets his mani and pedis, he might get anal whitening, too.
Well, a 29-year-old man and 53-year-old woman were kidnapped from separate rooms in their Newport Beach home on October 1st, tied up and driven to the Mojave Desert, where they were left to die, according to Los Angeles Times. Kyle Shirakawa Hanley was arrested. He's 33. He was arrested in connection to the crime. But two remaining suspects are at large. On October 1st, a neighbor saw three suspects unload a ladder from their truck and pretend to work at a victim's home, according to the police reports obtained by the paper. Police now believe that the three men, including Hanley, were actually involved in the kidnapping. The victims were taken from their home, restrained with zip ties, and tortured, the Bakersfield Californian reported. Sheriff's deputies found them in the desert the next day. Detectives, these guys were too lazy to fucking dig a fucking hole. Listen,
it's
you
not even
fucking lazy fucking murderers.
Hey, you know, when you torture someone for 8 hours, it gets tiring. You need to take a nap.
These murderers nowadays are so fucking lazy. Fucking dig a hole. Cover your tracks. Not that I know, but do it.
It's not even that hard to dig a
hole
in sand.
It's
sand.
It's a desert.
Yeah, it's not that
hard. I've been watching way too much Casino.
Detectives believe it was a targeted attack motivated by money and possibly medical marijuana. Hanley has pleaded not guilty to charges of aggravated mayhem, felony torture, felony burglary, and two felony counts of kidnapping for ransom. It didn't sound like ransom to me. It lasted a day, and they couldn't even bury a fucking hole. And by the way, you got some fucking issues. I'm all about, listen, if I'm a murderer, I'm all about the torture thing, I guess, whatever. But cutting people's dicks, like, come on. I don't want to see a dick, even if I'm a murderer. Unless I'm a gay murderer or a repressed gay murderer. Why would you really want to cut some guy's dick?
This prove is starting to get pretty twisted.
Am I right, though?
To prove a point, to torture him. Who knows how these sick people think?
I mean, a guy would have to do something. Like if I caught a guy screwing my wife.
Yeah.
And I liked my wife. Mm-hmm. Probably go kick his. I'd probably cut his dick off.
If he didn't like his wife, he'd be running down the block going, "I'm free, I'm free."
And by the way, what kind of society are we living in? That isn't like a huge news story because it's about fucking serial killers, and it's on Huffington Post weird stories. That's weird. That's weird.
I'm
That's
all
a fucking
about
serial killing. There's two serial killers on the loose.
I'm all about giving those people the death penalty. Kill them.
I know, but there's two serial killers on the loose, and they're like, "Oh, you want to hear a weird, funny story?" Huff Post. What are you thinking here? How's that weird and funny?
It is the Huff Post. That does explain a lot. I'm all for the guy they caught. Kill him. Give him the death penalty.
Oh, by the way, did you see Ann Coulter called Barack Obama a retard?
Yeah.
And that was funny, too. I thought it was funny. I'm not even a fan of her, so people don't fucking call me a Republican jagoff. I just think it's funny.
It is funny.
She just always sticks her foot further and further down her own mouth. That's just shut up. Just shut up.
She's
not talking like that.
By the way, here's an article that sounds right up our alley. She's not bad, but the rules she has to obey are 14 crazy nanny state rules. So these are 14 rules that nannies, you cannot do with a nanny, right? This is interesting. No hugs.
What?
No hugs. Plain old hugging is inappropriate.
You can't hug your nanny?
No, you're not allowed to hug your nanny. According to school officials in New Jersey who have banned the evil practice of hugging, students need to be focused on academics because hugging takes a lot of time. Other schools have instituted no-hugging policies with punishments that include suspension. You can't hug your teacher. You can't hug nobody.
Yeah, they're just stupid.
No hugging.
Well, you know, I mean, we grew up in Italian families, and there's lots of Italians in Jersey. Have you ever said goodbye at one of your Italian family parties? I mean, it takes like a half hour to hug everybody and get out of there.
Well, here's a law in Tennessee that's interesting. Hand-holding's too sexy. For teens, hand-holding is just one step away from having sex. That is according to Tennessee's abstinence-based sexual education program, which includes warnings about gateway sexual activity,
okay, first
like
of all.
Hand-holding. Hold on. The legislation also prohibits teachers from demonstrating any gateway sexual activity. So if you're caught hand-holding, like your husband stops by school and you hold his hand and the kid sees you, you're going to jail.
Okay, first of all.
I love that, right?
That's nowhere even near first base, let alone having sex. These people are idiots.
Yeah, you know, they're definitely idiots because somebody's got to let these people know you can make your way right around first, second, and on the third and still not be having sex.
There's another stupid one in San Diego County. For one school district in the South Bay Union School, safety concerns outweigh any potential health benefits of bicycling. Students are not permitted to ride bikes to school, period.
And you know what? They shouldn't be allowed to ride bikes in the goddamn city. Next motherfucker who cuts me off on a bike, I swear to God, I'm clearing on my gas.
I know. There was some guy that got hit on his skateboard yesterday by a drunk driver. God bless. Hope he gets better. But listen, if you're skateboarding on the fucking street, I don't know.
And I assume it was probably late at night slash early in the morning.
Yeah, of course. It's a drunk driver. There are 9 a.m. drunk driver.
I mean, there are drunk drivers who could be.
Unless it was Jesse Jackson Jr. But listen, allegedly.
No, he was too busy at the bar with two other women, so it couldn't have been him.
But, you know. I will say this. Guys, if you're skateboarding or bicycling after like 11 p.m.
And you don't have any reflectors on.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Especially skateboarding. You can't control fucking.
And also get out of my fucking way.
On a fucking skateboard. And yes, and if you're a drunk driver like Charles, get out of his fucking way or else you may die.
Because
by the way,
not spilling my beer is more important than not hitting you.
Here's a Chicago one. One Chicago school has banned all packed lunches from home. stating that school lunches are more nutritious and better quality.
Yeah, I remember the school lunches we had, and they were disgusting. We used to call it a grilled cheese rock and rubber, because if you rolled it in a ball it would bounce.
Well, this sounds like some political glad-handing here, where they get to put some money in the school's pocket by making you buy a lunch.
Yeah, it sounds like Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like right. Baggy pants. If your pants are kind of baggy, they might violate a new school dress code in Chicago. If the school isn't able to enforce a dress code, some city council members even want to instate citywide ordinance to control the pants problem.
That I have no problem with.
I feel like that rule is not from where we grew up, but I'm kind of okay.
No, that's more interesting.
In the picture that Adam just saw, does this look like where we grew up? No.
By the way, speaking of baggy pants, I was not allowed in a bar a couple times because my jeans were too baggy.
Really?
Yeah, I said, listen, I lost 50 pounds. I haven't bought new jeans yet. Do I look like I'm in a gang? I am the most overly Caucasian motherfucker you will ever meet.
You could be Vice. You could be Vice.
No, you couldn't. No, I couldn't.
No, no one would believe that. The end of bake sales. Massachusetts has been working to combat childhood obesity, removing vending machines from school hallways and potato chips from the lunch line. Now, currently, the state law prohibits junk food on school grounds during the day, but some are pushing to make the ban 24/7, which would prevent school groups from raising money by selling baked goods.
Yeah, I heard they were going to do that.
How do you feel about that, Mikey, being a fan of baked goods?
Well, you know, it
I mean that with all sincerity.
Look, here's the thing. Again, it comes back down to a higher authority dictating to people who can make their own decisions.
What you can eat and what you can't eat. You don't like that, do
I
you?
Think
I don't like it.
I think that in elementary school, I think that we should be able to provide healthy options for our children.
I agree.
I think by the time a kid's in middle school, he's old enough to make his own decisions and based on the parenting of his parents.
Well, you hit it. Bingo.
Yeah.
Here's what I think the problem is. Some of these rules are ridiculous, and I'm fucking laughing at a bunch of them. But a lot of these rules are being implemented because the parents are fucking retarded.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think slowly state governments are going, parenting's pretty fucking retarded. This kid's bringing like 7 slices of pizza to school left over from Papa John's last night. We should make them buy healthy food. Or I don't want to see baggy pants. I don't want to see your pants down to your fucking ankles while you're in school. And your mom lets you leave the fucking house like that.
The baggy pants thing is one. That's a different.
You
also have to look at a lot of kids.
School districts now starting the parent is what's going on.
No.
The parents aren't doing it.
I think a lot of times, especially with chance, kids wear one thing and bring another pair. And they'll change and put on a different pair.
And that if happens. You have to bring an extra pair of clothes to school because you may not be wearing something appropriate, then you probably should just wear the other thing to begin with.
Hey, I know, but I'm telling you. And if anybody ever wants to see how dumb parents are, go to your local LSC meeting or your local parent-teacher conference.
Oh, PTAs?
Or your PTA meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Those are the most ridiculous things.
What
you
happened?
Want to stab yourself in the
it's
eye.
It's a generation like right under our parents, Mikey. What happened that they're retarded?
You know what, Maddie?
We got good parents.
We do.
I love your parents. I love my parents. Chucky's dad is funny.
You know what? I kind of
fanny pack.
I kind of blame it on the hippies. I don't
and
know.
Yelling at me.
Yeah, my sister. You two.
No,
just came over here for a burrito.
I agree, though. I mean, something happened. I think there's a loss of drive.
What happened to the good old days when parents were just slightly racist?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, because it's a loss of accountability. Remember, like, we were watching a movie last night. Everything's becoming tolerance instead of accountability.
But I know kids that moms and dads know that they're fucking having parties in their basement on a Wednesday night, but they're not parties. They're just drinking and smoking weed. I knew when I coached baseball, I knew 15- and 16-year-old kids that had that going on. And the parents were fine with it. They knew about it. They hung out with them.
I knew parents like that growing up.
I think another problem is, too, is parents are afraid these days to discipline their kids or to do anything because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble for child abuse.
Bullshit.
No, I think...
Bullshit.
You know what?
I think because if you're in a store and your little
yes
kid's acting
no.
up
I
and
don't,
you spank your kid,
yeah.
some asshole
yes.
will be like, hey,
yes.
you shouldn't do
That's
that.
That's true.
That happens
true.
All the time.
Yes and no. Yeah, okay. I'm saying yes and no because I don't think it's as big of a percentage as you made it sound. I know you didn't mean to make it sound that way.
No.
But I do believe, yeah, part of the problem is parents now, if you discipline your child in any other way other than talking, you could go to jail. And I know kids. I know kids who have called the cops on their parents for hitting them.
Who got the crap kicked out of them by their parents?
But I'm saying not even beating them. Getting a fucking belt to their ass.
Yeah.
I know a kid who called the cops on his parents for a belt to the ass.
Yeah.
And the cops come?
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah. And they file Department a report and everything.
Department of Child and Family Services has to come out.
Uh-huh.
For every call of neglect or abuse.
Mikey, it's really true. We gave the power to the kids.
Well, let me tell you something, pal. They can throw me in jail.
How about this? Spying on lunchboxes. At preschools in North Carolina, children are required to have a balanced lunch consisting of one serving of meat, dairy, and grain, plus two servings of fruits or vegetables. This regulation covers cafeteria lunch as well as those brought from home. In order to enforce this regulation, government employees actually travel to preschool and daycare centers to examine kids' lunchboxes and force parents to pay to supplement their child's unhealthy lunch.
What if the kid's lactose intolerant?
I just love how government employees are traveling to go check out these lunchboxes.
They're just really giving anybody a title and a position in the government nowadays.
Never mind. On the bright side, at least it's preschool.
I know. Well, okay, there's a couple more, and then we'll wrap up here. Time to a revealing clothes. In case baggy pants aren't your thing, be careful that your pants are not too tight either. A school in Ohio banned yoga pants for being... Oh, man, I would have loved to go to school if yoga pants were popular.
By the way, working in the downtown metropolitan city, yoga pants are the greatest gift
to
mankind.
Well, I went to Catholic school before they made those pants that girls wear under their skirts. So I went to Catholic school where you would make sure you get your black shoes shined real well so you could put them in the light and see up the skirts. Or you drop your pencil and look all the way across the room and some girl's got her leg crossed, whatever. Yoga pants, so would have been my thing.
Oh, I love
you know what
pants.
I used to love to do? During the wintertime, I used to love opening the windows the way and girls would bitch.
Finger
and they would claim like how cold they are, but really it was to protect their nippleage. I was all about that. I was that scumbag.
We did that to substitute teachers in high school.
You know, and the other thing I got to throw out there by yoga pants, king of camel toe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, duh.
That's the point, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. Loosen our gall.
Dreads and cornrows. Hampton University's business school and its high-ranking MBA program don't permit cornrows and dreadlocks in class.
Yeah, that's good.
The school claims they are preparing students for corporate life. When confronted with accusations of racism, oh my fucking God.
Did Jesse Jackson show up there too?
Yeah, the dean of the business school retorted, when was it that cornrows and dreadlocks were a part of African-American history? Well, that's probably not the right answer either. But,
there are white people.
By the way, can I say this to white people? When Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton come to you and claim that you're racist, don't try to be witty. Don't try to be smart. Just say you're not. That's it. Don't go, when was cornrows and dreadlocks part of African-American history? Oh, now you just made yourself sound like a dumb racist. Don't comment. Say, I'm not a racist. You're fucking ridiculous. See ya. See ya. That's it. See ya.
Yeah.
Stop giving fucking speeches about how not racist you are because you make yourself sound like a racist. By the way, I also hate guys like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton who go to fucking schools to probably off of our tax dollars or their church donations to fucking go argue about cornrows and dreadlocks at fucking Hampton University.
Jesse Jackson is one of the most racist people around.
Hate him. Hate him.
And I know a lot of African-Americans who can't stand him, too.
Recess is over.
Yeah, it has been for a long time.
Yeah.
Those days are over for schools in several states. Tag might cause injuries or, worse, hurt feelings. One school allows kickball to be played, but only if the score is not kept. After a Toronto, Ontario parent was hit in the head with a soccer ball and suffered a concussion, the local school board banned the use of all hard balls on the playground.
Wait a minute. What parent's getting a concussion from a six-year-old kicking a soccer ball?
You know, this comes...
Yeah, they banned Smear the Queer a long time ago.
You know, I'm just going to throw this out here, but this again comes back to getting rid of accountability and going right to – I can't even think of the word right now.
They're just stupid.
Yeah. What's the thing? Not temperance.
Tolerance.
There you go.
Remind me of this next weekend when we do the show. Remind me to talk about how I didn't know what gay was for like 13 years. I found out Nathan Lane was gay. It's a funny story, but remind me next week because it has to do with all this. You brought up Smear the Queer, which I thought was funny. When I played Smear the Queer in grade school,
I had no fucking clue.
I had no fucking clue. I thought the queer was just the guy you're going after.
Yeah, the queer was the uncool kid or whatever.
We always played a different game.
Was that Negroes Lynch the Negroes?
Negroes the National Guard.
Negroes the National Guard. Wait, for real?
What?
Yeah, that's what we always played.
And you had no idea what it was about, right?
No, we kind of had a good idea.
Well, he is from the South.
Hey, Charles, remember what I just said about if you're white and someone claims you're racist, don't talk too much about it?
I never claimed I wasn't racist. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Cowboys and Indians, but we called it Negroes and National Guard. And that's not the proper word that we used.
In grade school?
Yeah.
You use the N-word?
Yeah. You got to remember.
I love how honest he is about that.
Yeah,
we come from a neighborhood with the grandmaster.
Well, we come from a neighborhood where everyone is. All of our parents were cops or firemen, and they're just all of our parents were either cops or firemen, and they were just all racist. I think they're the ones who gave us the name of the game.
Moving on.
Once again, I draw.
All right, how many articles we got left? Because I'm dying over here.
Two. Calm down. Two or three.
The Mikey Terzo show.
Oh, no, there's no articles left. I'm just finishing this list.
Oh, okay.
Applying sunscreen. If you do not have a doctor's note, you cannot apply sunscreen at schools in New York and other states. A doctor's note and a signed parental permission slip are required to apply sunscreen, since it is considered as medication by the FDA. Cough drops, Vaseline, chapstick, and antibiotic ointment all require sign-offs.
Why do you need to put sunscreen on in school anyways?
And by the way, there were a couple girls that were hospitalized for severe burns because the school refused to let them wear sunscreen.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
What were they doing and they needed sunscreen?
I think there's some younger children that have skin problems and they become very sensitive in the sun.
This may be my least favorite rule. I love boobies. No boobies. Raising money for breast cancer is a noble cause, but not the fundraiser includes a bracelet that says, I heart boobies. In one Pennsylvania school district, students were told of this policy when they claim violates their freedom of speech rights. District officials say that the word boobies is vulgar.
I was accused of the same thing last month when we had breast cancer awareness a couple of weeks ago.
Save the tatas.
Continue, Charles, with all your things that will make you so popular in America.
I was, no, everybody
we
was...
We played Negroes and Generals, and we didn't use that
National
Guard or whatever.
I'm just telling the truth. That's what we did.
And let me tell you why I hate breast cancer.
I don't hate breast cancer.
Continue. I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm
like,
putting words in your mouth. Continue.
They were selling the ribbons, and I bought a ribbon for breast cancer awareness. And somebody was like, oh, you bought a ribbon? I'm like, yeah, why? And they're like, oh, I didn't do it. I was just joking. I'm like, I'm all about saving the boobies. That's all.
All right, last two. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is currently entertaining a proposal to ban milk in school. According to the proposal by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, milk is high in sugar, high in fat, and high in animal protein that is harmful to, rather than protective of, bone health. They say instead kids should just eat broccoli, tofu, or collard greens.
Obviously, kids need to drink milk because they need the calcium.
By the way, collard greens, is this... trying to include everybody is what the health department is doing here.
No, collard greens are actually pretty healthy.
I understand that, Mikey, but...
You're saying they could have said kale?
Well, yeah. Who says collard greens? They're trying to reach out to, other communities.
Instead of giving...
You know, the ones Chuck Chase is after.
Instead of giving kids whole milk, they can give them skim milk, skim milk or low-fat milk.
That
or
wasn't
maybe
the
even,
option.
Maybe even soy milk.
So
there's
the way I read it
is just
the
cutting out milk.
The way I read it
because
was
the kids need the calcium.
Broccoli, tofu, or collard greens. White, hippie homos, and Negroes. That's the way I read it.
Are they still called the Negroes?
I don't know. We're just in such a racist mood tonight. I decided to toss out an old Negroes. an old Negroes for old time's sake. By the way, if our show ever reached higher than 20,000 listeners, if we started reaching like 500,000 listeners, right now people would be like, I don't see anybody but white people sitting around that table, and you guys are talking about Negroes and homo hippies.
You brought up homo hippies.
I did bring up homo hippies.
Well, as Christopher Walken clarified for us, they're not faggots anymore, they're homos.
Well done, Mikey. I'm glad you quoted the source. All right, the last thing, being banned in schools everywhere. Dinosaurs. New York City, famous for its recent ban on large sodas and trans fat, may also become a place where kids can't talk about dinosaurs. The Department of Education has been revising its standardized tests to exclude controversial words. On the chopping block are Christmas, poverty, evolution, and Halloween. Plus, oddly enough, dinosaurs and dancing. No sufficient explanation has been forthcoming.
What?
Yeah,
John Lithgow's walking around.
They're going to be banning the words Christmas, poverty, evolution, Halloween, dinosaurs, and dancing.
Because nowadays you have to say happy holidays. You can't say Merry Christmas.
This is why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to this.
And New York, by the way.
I mean, I feel like.
New York City, by the way.
I feel like
the liberal city.
I feel like they're
well, that's why they're doing it.
No, this is some religious right.
No, it's
crap,
the liberals who are stopping this stuff from happening.
Oh,
well, I feel like they were going after getting rid of Christmas and then threw evolution in there because they had to keep everybody happy. So they're like, oh, we're going to get rid of Christmas, but we'll get rid of evolution too. And then Halloween, I don't even know where that's coming in. And dancing and
aren't
dinosaurs?
The Mexicans mad about Halloween? They're not mad about that?
I don't know.
There are religious
dancing
groups.
Dancing, isn't Kevin Bacon furious right now?
Yeah.
And me and Adam made that joke 2 minutes ago.
You mean, what do you mean, man, dance?
Did you say Footloose?
He did. He said John Lithgow. No dancing in my town.
All right. Well, next week we'll be back with more. I want to thank Mandy Stadtmiller. I wanted to remind you can watch Jacob Aronestis' film, Details with Tobey Maguire and Elizabeth Banks, who is great. We love Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And you can watch that on demand or in theaters November 2nd. Is there anything else I'm forgetting? Oh, and Silent Hill comes out Friday. Nothing else? Charles?
No.
You don't have anything to promote?
You can follow me at Twitter at
@83,
where I won't make any racist comments.
And Mikey, anything you need to promote?
John David and the John David Financial Network.
Okay, sure. Good for JD. Get that out there. And Shawnee, thanks for coming by. Adam, thanks for working the old trusty little board here. Yeah. What are you going to do, Adam, if the show ever gets picked up and I got to hire you to do like sound engineering on like boards that are like 7,000 times bigger than this? Go back to school. All right, that's good. We will see you next Wednesday. Thank you very much.